What happens to the poop?
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, July 8th, 2021. This is your award-winning Gitmo Nation Media Assassination, episode 1362.
This is No Agenda.
Incentivize and broadcasting live from the heart of Texas Hill Country, FEMA region number 6. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where I await the zephyr because I've got nothing else to say. I'm John C. Dvorak.
Crackpot and buzzkill in the morning.
Ooh, you sound congested.
I woke up congested. I'm congested. I'm going to be congested for a while.
Have you lost any sense of taste or smell?
No.
Okay, no Rona then. No Rona. I was realizing, I don't know about you, but and I'm not even asking you. I always look forward to talking with you. I'm like, oh, I want to tell John that. Oh, I have so much to say.
Huh.
And at first, for today, I'm pissed, a little bit pissed about the rain stick. Because as you know, when we do a rain stick session, Austin, Texas, or really wherever I am, it seems, just gets the back end of the stick. And, oh my God, we had torrential flooding out here. Now we're in hill country. We had 3 inches in 3 hours. Now, this is July.
Yeah, but you've never lived there before. It could be like this all the time.
Well, no, it's not, because our septic tank
blew up.
Overflowed, basically.
Oh, so you have a septic tank.
Hey, so here's what happened.
By the way, can I say something?
Yeah.
I know this is, people are going to go, what is this guy talking about? I think it's kind of cool. Cool. Because you can be out in the middle of nowhere and you put the septic tank out. And you use it just like regular plumbing, and then a septic tank truck comes by and picks it all up, and you're good to go.
It's even better, because
you got to put chemicals in it, though.
Well,
I think.
Let me tell you about, because I learned a lot about septic tanks, and this is a brand new septic tank. So there's an alarm going off outside. There's a red light flashing, because in essence, if something's wrong with a septic tank, you do have a chance that shit is going to fly everywhere.
Oh no! Well, if you have nearby farmland, that might be okay.
Well, so I called Paul the septic guy, and now I'm really happy about the rain stick, because Paul the septic guy, he rolls up in his truck, and he's saying, "Boy, can't believe this rain."
Well, wait, stop! Just before I'm always asking this before I forget the thought. Do you also have a propane guy?
Yep, sure do. Haven't met him yet. And this is living
the dream.
And he's probably a little bit older than I am. Within 4 minutes, he's like, this rain is crazy. And I look at him and I say, it's probably China. Boom, boom. He opened up, man. He opened up. Hell yeah. Hill Country is full of patriots. And it just went on and on and on. He says, you're in a good place here. Fantastic. We got everything protected. I said, I got 2,000 rounds for the AR. He goes, what kind of mouse stash is that? And he goes on to tell me about what everybody had. It's fantastic. The difference just 50 miles outside of Austin is so phenomenal. We have our own radio station, Patriot Hill Country FM. I had no idea. I'm in heaven here. I'm in heaven. And then I learned about the septic tank. This is magic. It's three tanks. So the poop goes into tank number one, and then everything that's grease is filtered back. Then it goes into tank number two, and this is where the only thing that is in there is chlorine. And then it goes through that into septic tank number three, and then when that starts to fill up, it starts to spray fresh water with chlorine, of course, all over the front yard. And it's no poop, it's just water. I mean, that's amazing.
What happens to the poop?
No, it disintegrates. You don't have to have the septic tank. What happens to the poop? ISO of the year. it's completely filtered out. So once every two, depends on how often you use it or what you pour down it. I mean, if you're throwing a lot of greasy stuff down the drain, that's not a good idea, because it's a whole chemical process. It just degrades on the way out.
Doesn't a truck come out and pump out the stuff that you can't degrade?
Only, he says, probably once every two, maybe sometimes for some people 4 years.
What?
Yeah, this is new septic. This is technology I was unaware of. I mean, I think I can drink that water.
We sound like a couple of dumb fuck city boys even discussing this the way we're doing it.
I know. He's probably listening to it right now going, because of course. I'm like, oh, no agenda. Got to listen to that podcast. He's probably listening to me shaking his head.
poor bastards.
Poor city boys. Huh. Yeah, it was a wonderful experience. Really, yeah. We're in like
Flynn. Here's what my impression was.
Mm-hmm.
A septic tank was, this is just my impression, because I work with guys who lived out in Sonoma County, places where there are, where they have a septic tank, because they're, you know, they're not connected to any
right
sewer.
Right.
It's a big tank that chemicals go in, and all the poop and everything goes into this tank and accumulates, and then a guy comes out and pumps it out in a big tanker truck.
Yeah,
pumps
it out.
Maybe once a month it comes by and pumps all your poop.
No.
This is like driving around in an RV, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
That has a poop tank in it, and you have to drive.
It's not the same. You got to dump the poop tank. No, it is not the same as an RV poop tank at all. Also known as the gray water tank. No.
Huh. No. Well, I'm fascinated by this.
You should be.
It's got to cost a lot of money for one of those systems.
You know, I think the guy who built the house, he left a whole book. I'll bet you I can find out how much it cost.
He probably does have a book. He sounds like a record keeper guy.
Totally. He has every electricity, because we have to join. We had to join.
You have to definitely
electricity
find out what it
co-op. Yeah, we had to join an electricity co-op to get electricity out here.
Huh.
So except for electricity, we're completely self-supporting.
Did he pay for, well, you could also put generators in, it'd be good to go.
That's coming. That's coming. I'm saving.
But, I had another question about this guy, but
go ahead.
I got confused by this electricity co-op. Did he have, there's this question. Did he have to run the wires?
Who?
For the guy who built the house. If you're going to join an electricity co-op, there's going to be wires coming to the house. Did he have to do the wires himself? Did he have to run the wires,
no,
to overheads?
This is technically a subdivision. So it's an HOA that no one acknowledges. So somehow that got built and it got put underground. So the wires are underground into the house. There's only 16 houses here, I think, or something.
Huh.
So... But I was just blown away by the turd tank system. Like, this is really cool. You know, and I always wondered, how do you turn those sprinklers off? He says, no, you don't. That's when the pump is going and it's pumping out fresh water. It is chlorinated, but that's really more for your protection. It just spews it out over the grass. And the grass is going, yummy. Clean water. Yeah, that's cool.
Well, golly.
Take that, Elon
Musk.
What
will they think of next?
Take that, Elon Musk. Oh, man. And I don't know if it had to do with me, but the New York Post ran an article the day after my Rogan appearance. Spotify staff reportedly outraged by Joe Rogan's show. We had a pretty good time, but I got a lot of interesting comments.
Why? I didn't hear it because I don't have Spotify, but I expect to hear about it. But what did you say that was so that would even remotely be outrageous? That more outrageous than you say on this show?
Well, it's in fact, it's things I say on this show. And by the way, I thought I had a great appearance.
Everybody says you had a great appearance.
Yeah, it was fun.
I have moles, and they all told me. Yeah, I do. Okay.
I was pretty relaxed. You know, the Tourette's wasn't too bad. It's there continuously, but I just kind of let it go and it was okay. And I had almost no comments about that, which that's strangely enough, you know, that's like the thing that bothers me the most. So here are a couple things that I got responses to. First, the number one thing that people corrected me on, I said at one point, money is the root of all evil. Oh, my God. Do you know what it actually should be, that quote?
Yeah, the love of money.
Yes, I screwed it up. And
everybody knows this.
Well, not Mr. Curry, apparently. Then it hit a major artery in the GameStop community. I did my whole thing on ESG, environmental, social, corporate governance, and then kind of rolled right into how Wall Street is corrupt and they're and the DTCC.
Oh, yeah, I have to back up. What GameStop community? You mean talking about the jerk-offs that are running the GameStop stock up? That's a community?
That's a real community, and they're not jerk-offs. That's your opinion.
Uh-huh.
At all. No, they are the same of the same ilk as the Bitcoiners. They see the scam, and they're busting the scam. It's not GameStop didn't end. You know that. It's still, you know, it's still ongoing.
Well, the GameStop, I have to give credit to the GameStop.
And all the good credits I had created by saying that, you just wiped off the board in one fell swoop.
They're going to come to your place?
No, GameStop you. Community? No, you. You. They're going to come tear you down.
I don't think so.
I've
been shorting the GameStop on the DHM Pletcher just consistently.
Oh, yeah. Hey, GameStoppers, go over and comment on dhunplug.com.
Yeah, go there.
Please do.
GameStoppers.
Yeah, it's the apes, actually. So you have the GameStop, then you have the AMC. They call themselves the apes, I guess because they're hanging in there. And I was even elevated. I was elevated to silverback status because of my comments on Rogan.
I didn't even know what that means, and I probably don't care.
You should probably somehow, you know, maybe I think it's free to sign up for Spotify. You might just want to see that bit. Actually, it's on YouTube. It's everywhere. I mean, there's, the video of it has 1 million views already.
Of you saying the GameStop guys are you're a silverback?
No, of me talking about the DTCC, about all the fake synthetic shares in the system.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was talking about. And then I also laid in with ESG, and people love the ESG stuff because people understand this, that it's really driving wokeness. However, the...
Driving wokeness.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not. Just go, keep going.
Here's the one that I found most... And a lot of people... Well, there's two, actually, two interesting ones. One is... I told Joe about ranked choice voting and how that, you know, at that point, they still hadn't determined the winner in the New York mayoral
supposed to be election. July, maybe.
And Joe said, I never heard of this.
Oh, by the way, before you go on with that, just a quick comment.
Mm-hmm.
This is computer driven. Why does it take so long? You just have your, except for the absentee ballots may have an effect. Never mind.
Well, Joe had never heard of it.
He lived in California where we've had it for years.
Well, he'd never heard of it. Okay. And so for me saying, well, I think, I don't know if Joe or I said, Joe's like, this is retarded. Well, boy, oh boy, there's a lot of people on Twitter trying to show me that I'm wrong. Ranked choice voting is the future. It's how we fix politics. Okay. I'd really like a mathematician to explain to me how this is a good thing.
You don't need runoffs.
That's all. It's a runoff built into the system. But isn't the comment I got most was, this way people don't have to vote for the lesser of two evils. And I say, but that's what I want. I want everyone to be landlocked. I don't want government really doing anything. It's perfect. Landlock everything. And then, oh, you're the lesser of two evils. This is who we are. One person, one vote. Not one person, five votes. Or am I completely off base on this? Am I off base on this?
That's a funny line. I'm going to have to use it.
But it's true. During you know the past 5 years, one person, one vote. And now it's one person, five, six, seven votes. I don't know. Maybe I'm just really not understanding it, but it doesn't seem like a cool system to me. And you know that's what they eventually want the presidential, the general elections to be.
Yeah, well.
And then my favorite.
The general election is one person, no votes. It's done by the Electoral College.
This is true. My favorite criticism is about credit karma. So somehow that came up in the conversation.
You guys are doing a whole no agenda rap.
Better than
everything we've done for the last 14 years.
Yeah, pretty much.
Should get some more listeners if anybody gets a Spotify feed.
Compressed into compressed into 3 hours. Yeah. So I'm talking about credit karma, and you know, and I, my stance is clear. Credit karma is, Joe said, well, what do you think of the Chinese social score?
Yeah, the social.
I said, we have it. We have it. It's credit karma, and they tell you to do things. And based upon that, you know, you get more credit, and they offer you the credit right there, and you can then buy more stuff with more credit. I mean, that's the system, and it's not FICO score.
Did you mention the vaccines involved in that, too?
No, I didn't. I forgot that. No.
Yeah.
So here's the comment I get. This is the funniest. You're an idiot, Curry, you moron. Credit karma is helping minorities manage credit. I'm like, whoa, it's helping minorities manage credit. Yeah, uh-huh. Also known as digital slavery. Are you kidding me? Holy crap.
When did that come? Was that just some rando sending a bitch?
Yeah, it's from this morning. I saw a couple tweets about it. Anyway, I promoted the heck out of the show, which I was very proud of. I promoted... the heck out of podcasting 2.0, which was, you know, I thought it'd be
tough. That's what you got to do. You'll be doing that for the next 2 or 3 years.
At least.
Actually, maybe not. I mean, I think in another year it should be established.
And then it's just, then we just go back to calling it podcasting.
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe.
But you've done, you created a, it's admirable. I have to say.
Oh, wow. Thank you, John. Coming from you, that's huge.
It is. And I admit. But it's creating the, it's like the, somebody's building a freeway and somebody's got to stop the freeway from going through the midtown and wrecking the place.
Yeah.
I mean, we have all these, I mean, Boston was a good example with the big dig. They had to dig that thing because of it was a mess. I mean, it was a mess. It was a costly mess before the big dig. They had to spend more money to fix it. And this is what was happening with podcasting, the way I see it. And you stopped it from ever happening to begin with. So there was no need for a big dig. There was no need for anything else. If it wasn't because you kind of feel very obliged to the medium, you felt and it was necessary and you just took immediate action. And it was like, wow, this is good.
A double compliment. Oh, Martha, I'm coming.
Oh, you'll be beaming tonight.
And now it's time for 3x3. Experiment by JCD. Comparing stories from ABC, CBS, and NBC. The never-ending 3x3.
There's another sign once again for the 3x3. John has viewed all of the crappy news this morning on the Big Three networks and has a report.
Yeah, I did. I actually had to go. What's it called? What's the Jen Psaki say? I had to wrap around. Or what's it called? What'd she say?
Circle back.
I had to circle back on NBC because I go to NBC and they got the American Century Celebrity Golf Tournament rundown, which they're going on and on about this tournament. It's been going on for 14 years. It's the biggest thing in celebrity dumb and blah, blah, blah. I've never heard of this golf tournament, but okay, I guess everyone.
And which one was it? Which one was it? What was the name of it?
The American Celebrity Golf Tournament. That was the name of it.
Huh. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me think back. The American Century Celebrity Tournament.
Nice.
You ever heard of it?
No, of course not. It's golf.
Of course not.
Golf.
Yeah. So they're going on and on. Yak, yak, yak. So I said, oh, screw this. So I went to ABC. And so ABC had... It never said 50 Cent. It was 50 Cent... And Pam Miller were on being interviewed by one of the black hosts. It was like all black today.
Wait a minute. Was the Chiron 550 or FIFTY?
50.
Okay. Well, that's permissible then. 50. Because it's 50. Of course, we know what it is.
You don't know what it is.
It's 50 Cent.
You know what it is. Okay. So let me. But they never even mentioned his name. So I don't know how they were pronouncing it. Okay. So it was a big plug for Power Book 3, the movie.
Power Book 3?
Yeah, what happened to Power Book 1 and 2?
Is that an Apple product?
No, it's a movie.
Huh.
And it's debuting on Stars, and they're going on and on congratulating the 50 Cent and Pam Miller, the actress, on and on about how successful this movie franchise is, and congratulations on the third edition of it. I'm thinking, what? Okay, so I just figured, I don't know what the hell's going on. So then I jump over to CBS, and they're talking about Finding Love. After the lockdown. Finding Love after the lockdown.
Wait a minute. Did they promote a black dating app by any chance?
They promoted Hinge.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a dating app. And they had some woman who is the relationship science expert.
Ooh. Doctor. Was she a doctor?
Probably. But they had a skeleton crew on. They didn't have the regular CBS people. They had on some bald black guy. Really thin, bald black guy. I've seen him a million times on CBS. I can't know. They never give you names of anybody. And then they had, they had the bald black guy. And then they had a guy, some guy who looked Hispanic from a distance, but he was white, but he looked Hispanic. I don't know if he was Hispanic or not. I never saw him before. And then they had this really pretty platinum blonde woman. You couldn't keep her eyes off her, who was kind of a nice smile, but she had a weird standoffish pixie. She had a pixie cut standoffish type, but nice smile. And she was doing this piece on the dating. And I couldn't get her name either. And I looked, I said, I got to find her name. And I couldn't find it on the CBS. They didn't show it. But she was kind of an interesting character, because the bald black guy asked her, because they're talking about dating, says, do you, and he points to her. You, when you met your current boyfriend, you had a big argument over what was the best band, the Rolling Stones or the Beatles. And before I said Beatles, she says Rolling Stones.
Interesting.
And then she says, and I also asked them 62 questions on our first phone date.
this sounds like an ad, like a counter ad. And I'll tell you why. You might have seen this video. Juvenile redid his video. Instead of the rap lyric "back it up," is now "vax it up," and it's a bunch of it's the band and a bunch of girls, and they're all twerking and popping, and I won't date you unless you have the vax. And that is brought to you by BLK, which is a black dating app owned by Match.com. So it's just interesting that you would have a competitor show up on CBS.
Whatever it was. And so then I gave up on that and went, I did my wrap around, or what do you call it? The turn back around. What does she call that? Jen Psaki. She's got a
circle back.
So I did my circle back to go to NBC. And so now I go back to NBC and they're doing a review of sunscreens by some supposed doctor who's really looks more like a UCLA cheerleader. And, she's going on and on, and she makes the comment at the end, before I turned off the whole thing and came up here, that the blue screens from the TV, we got a lot of blue light, as in, and here's a blue light thing with all the LCDs.
Mm-hmm.
You should be wearing sunscreen
for the blue light from the TV,
for the blue light coming off your LCD screens.
The sunscreen that is now reported here and there to actually cause skin cancer.
And I'm thinking to myself as I hear this, I'm thinking, this is nuts. And so then I just...
So they're just then, selling so, shit.
And just before I got out of there, completely done with the report, I caught a local news story about coal trains. They're running coal out of Richmond, mm-hmm. California. And now they're going to start doing it out of Oakland. And there's all these protesters, these idiot protesters. Oh, this coal's going to kill us all. We can't have coal in Oakland. It's just a train going through. I mean, what is wrong with people?
So a lot is wrong with people, John.
I should stop doing these reports. It's like depressing to watch.
It's cool, though, because it shows that the mainstream, all three networks, have nothing to communicate except products they have interest in selling to you, especially the blue blocker glasses. Hello, 1980. What the hell? Oh, yeah, baby. You'll never forget now.
I'll circle back if there's more I can share with you. But I'll circle back with you if there's more to come. I'll have to just circle back with you. We can circle back.
Now you'll always remember.
I hope. Yeah, actually, now that you mentioned, everything was a product.
Yeah.
The movie, the dating app,
the blockers, the blockers, the sun,
and then the first one was the golf tournament is going to be televised.
Speaking of golf, I have a rare golf clip. This may be the first golf clip in No Agenda's history.
The PGA, a reminder this weekend that the fight is not over. Golfer John Rahm folding over with disappointment as he was told that he had...
Shoot, that's not the one I meant. I'm sorry. The hell?
By the way, that guy who was kicked out of that tournament won the tournament the next week.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that great?
Yes, fixed.
There was a killing. A bunch of people were shot on the golf course. On the golf course, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Why can't I find this?
You're looking up.
I'm kind of. What did you say?
Nothing.
Well, this is very odd. Maybe it's maybe my system won't.
Maybe you dreamed it.
No. I know the clip custodian gave it to me. So maybe I'll find it later. Well, there is some COVID stuff because it's getting funny.
Unfortunately, I have a ton of COVID clips today.
Well, I have a ton of incentive clips.
Ooh.
I got a lot of incentive clips. So why don't I play first two ones that deal with the main new narrative of the day. And that remains the variants.
How do the variants of COVID-19 differ from each other? Which variant is the worst one?
Worst. Okay, first part of that question, think of genetic fingerprints. So they do the genetic sequencing on these variants because remember, as we've said, viruses mutate for a living. So they're always evolving, usually to what's called a survival advantage for the virus. Remember, it needs us to keep living. Yep. So they can evolve and these variants can be different in terms of their transmissibility, their severity of clinical disease. A lot of the attention is on the spike protein, since that's how this virus attaches to our cells and then gains entry into our cells. And the second part of that question is, which is the worst one? I don't think we've seen it yet, TJ. The worst variant will be one that escapes the protection offered by either previous past natural infection and or the vaccines.
And of course, there's only one thing we're all interested in. What do we name the new variant?
And we talk about Delta, but now we need to talk about Lambda. We have another variant.
It's starting to get attention. I want to encourage people not to be concerned or afraid or surprised when they hear about this, because as we've viruses mutate for a living. So Lambda variant now considered
by the... Did you say they mutate for a living?
Yes. I'm glad you caught that. I was about to stop it. This is my favorite part of the clip. Listen again.
Is mutate for a living. So...
Oh, wait. Let me go back a little further.
Or afraid or surprised when they hear about this, because as we've said, these viruses mutate for a living.
Who's paying them?
So Lambda variant now considered by the World Health Organization.
Why would you even say that? And let me just say, this is not her ad lib. Everything is scripted. This is copy. Someone wrote that.
Yeah, someone wrote mutate for a living.
Now considered by the World Health Organization a variant of interest, not yet a variant of concern. It is thought to have originated in Peru, circulating already. NYU study that is just out showing that the vaccines still offering protection against this variant.
My goodness.
This is important. There is no evidence at this time that this one is more transmissible or produces more severe illness. But again, research is ongoing. We are going to follow this as any other variant very closely.
That variant of interest, is that an official stage?
Yeah, that's a designation by the World Health Organization. If it starts to create more disease, more serious, more transmissible, it gets bumped up to a variant of concern.
Oh, we have a level, a scale. A variant of interest, and soon variant of concern, and then
you're all gonna die.
Death. All right, what clips you got? Then we'll do my incentives after.
Well, I have a bunch of clips about the vaccine, mostly.
Oh, good.
I do have some of the stuff that came out in the. It's a lot of different things, but there's this woman that did she's an MIT researcher, and all she does is look at papers and papers.
Boring. She sounds like a horrible date.
Their name is Stephanie Seneff. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to go with a series of these clips that bring up every topic that we've talked about.
Oh, boy.
Except this one, which is kind of new, and that is that it's possible that the spike protein is a form of a prion.
We have talked about that.
Oh, have we? Okay, yeah, then we've talked about that too.
Mm-hmm.
So she discusses that, and let's play that clip first. That's, these are all fairly short, so it's not going to bore people too stiff until we get to the exosomes.
Okay.
The exosomes.
So which,
prion.
Which clip is this? Prion.
SS1 prion.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And we had heard about this idea that spike protein might be a prion. We'd been seeing some stuff, you know, on the web about this possibility. And we talked about whether we would should put that in to the paper. And we thought, well, maybe it's too speculative. Maybe we'll leave that out. And so, but then third round of review, one of the reviewers, a new reviewer, said, you know, spike protein, prion, you know, why don't you talk about that? And so that inspired us to go ahead and deep dive into that. And I'm so glad we did because, wow, I mean, it really connected dots. And it we learned a lot about, I mean, I already knew quite a bit about prion disease, but I learned more because of this.
Now, wait, where did this air? This didn't air on any actual news
channel.
You
had to go to Rumble.
There you go. I just wanted to make sure that the news wasn't doing this because that would be horrible. Wow.
And it's really a bad, it's like some sort of podcast. And the guy's got a hum in his line, so when he flips his mic on, it's the worst. You'll hear it in a couple of these clips. So let's go on and start talking about this is another little thing. This just says that this thing can actually, the mRNA thing goes into to make these spike proteins, but it may create permanent DNA changes.
Oh, that's hoax. That's a conspiracy theory.
SS changes in DNA. Let's listen to this clip.
I can show you the study that shows that sperm take up foreign messenger RNA, convert it into DNA, put it into plasmids, ship those plasmids, release those plasmids around the fertilized egg. The fertilized egg actually takes those plasmids up and can carry them throughout the lifespan of that person and passing it down to the next.
Wait. I'm shooting prions? Is that what she's saying?
Did you get the shot? The mRNA shot?
No, she said sperm. She said sperm has prions.
No, yeah, if you had she's saying the result of this mRNA shot.
Oh, my goodness.
It accumulates in various sexual organs.
This must be some kind of quack. This must be a quack. This can't be a real doctor.
She's a researcher.
Oh, there you go. What, MIT? Oh, please.
Fertilized egg actually takes those plasmids up and can carry them throughout the lifespan of that person and passing it down to the next generation. There's a paper that talks about all of that, not mentioning spike protein, not mentioning these vaccines. They didn't even exist at the time. But the whole story was there already in that paper. I mean, it's really, really amazing what is possible with these with these things. And people think, oh, you know, how bad could it be, right? I think a lot of people say, well, I really don't want to get this vaccine, but geez, I can't fly or I can't work and my job requires it. So I guess I better just, you know, grin and bear it, right? Go ahead, get the vaccine. Well, how bad could it be? I mean, it could be very, very bad, in my opinion. It could kill you. In fact, people are dying, right? Even children are dying. You know, there's a lot of teens. There's several cases now of teens that are dying from heart failure or, as a consequence of these vaccines.
My God.
Or experiencing such heart damage from myocarditis that their lives are permanently altered and their potential is permanently reduced.
Okay, that's not a hum. That is a disaster.
Yeah, it is.
These people need help.
I kept him to a minimum.
Can I just say something about that particular clip? The 2013 UK TV show a series Utopia, now also done in the US. I think it's on Netflix. Is exactly this: an evil vaccine created to sterilize people so that they can't have children, and then we bring the world back to the 500 million that we always intended, according to the Georgia Guidestones. Just saying. Just some predictive programming for you.
Now let's hear her little SS brain damage clip.
Okay.
Greg Nye just uncovered this study, which we did not reference in our paper. Maybe it's actually too new, but it's a fascinating paper that I've read pretty carefully now, last couple of days. And it is, and I think it's by people in India, actually. And it's an in vitro study where they showed that if you expose these human cells in culture to the spike protein, to the RNA for the spike protein, they make spike protein, they ship it out in exosomes. And then if you expose other immune cells in the brain in another in vitro study to those exosomes, they become neurodegenerative. They basically caught it, those exosomes that are made by the immune cells, exactly the model of the vaccine. The cells make these spike proteins, put them into these exosomes, and then when those exosomes make their way to the brain, the immune cells in the brain, called microglia, take them up and cause brain inflammation, brain damage, neurodegenerative diseases. I mean, basically, they hurt the brain very badly. So I feel like the vaccines are inviting a direct hit on the brain.
Oh, my God.
I should have saved these for later.
It's good because we get all this, and then we'll show how the government is incentivizing you to get this.
That's actually funnier.
Yeah, it's a good sequence.
Now, before I go to the two exosome part one, exosome part two, which is the most fascinating stuff that she's got.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, she's making the assertion that within between 2 and 10 years, people who get this, the mRNA vaccine will have Parkinson's.
Oh, and, fuck.
If you're interested. But before we go to that, let's listen to she covers all the bases. This is the little thing on magnetism. I put this aside for you specifically, knowing that, you know, you're...
I'm all into it. I'm all into the magnetofection.
She says she doesn't... In this case, there's no documentation of research. There's no research to prove any of this, and she's skeptical, but let's play it.
I think I have to dip into this magnet thing just for a minute, because
any guy with a hum like that on his mic can't ask questions. It's just not allowed.
Mm-hmm. You know, it bothers me. I have trouble believing that it's trauma at the ejection site, because there's just not enough iron in the blood to hold a magnet to somebody's arm who's standing upright. Like, there has to be, and you know, I've seen an awful lot of papers that indicate there's been research that go back a long time.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Right, and this is from PubMed. This is even from Pfizer, I think, its own work.
Yeah.
So it does appear that they're using like magnetic nanoparticles to...
Right, and when there's that ferritin, there's some kind of special form of ferritin. I've been sort of scanning through that literature. It's quite shocking. It's sort of like, you know, there's just been many, many... Last year has been amazing, because there's so many things that come your way. You know, you hear about something, oh, that's so crazy, that can't possibly be true. And then, well, here's some more evidence. You watch these videos, oh my God. You know, then you start, well, could it be true? And then how could it be true? You know, you go through all these thought processes where you're challenged. And then when you start seeing this actually literature about doing that in order to enhance, you know, the effect of these things, you just can't believe they would have done it without saying so, though. This is what really, really surprises me. I mean, would they have thought that they could get by with it without saying so?
Yeah.
I'm on the side, no. All right. So now we're going to talk about exosomes. And this is the most interesting part of her hours of yakking.
Which you watched all of it. It's highly appreciated. That's a lot, especially this kind of makes me appreciate our show. You know, we don't have hum. Why? No air conditioner. Why? Because we sit in hot rooms to bring you quality.
I like the way you get distracted by this guy and his horrible humming.
It's not distracting at all.
Okay. So now I want people that after they listen to this show, go to Wikipedia and look up exosome, E-X-O-S-O-M-E in the wiki, and read about it. It's fascinating. It's a fairly new discovery, and it's, I think, in the 80s, late 80s, these things were discovered. And this is what accounts for a lot of these screwball effects. She mentioned it. We've talked about these on the show, kind of in jest, but not completely, because there's too many stories. You had one from the keeper. She talked about one of her friends been hanging out with someone who got in the vaccine, and then she had...
The shedding, is that what this is, the shedding?
Yeah, the kind of the shedding, but it's not shedding, it's these exosomes. It's not shedding at all, it's something different. Let's listen. Yes,
no, I was gonna play it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just play it, and we'll talk afterwards.
There's two other reasons I'd like to go into. You mentioned shedding a number of times. I think that that's a very important topic, and I think it deserves a little bit of scrutiny. So I was speaking with Dr. Roger Hodgkinson a few days ago, and he was saying that a certain percentage, you could bell curve it out. But from the middle of the bell curve to the right side would be people who would produce more of the spike proteins than their own systems, I forget which system he said it was, would actually be able to mop up. So those people would likely shed it out in their breath and sweat, and that could present a risk to people who's in close proximity for a long period of time. How would you express that? Would you say that's accurate or any modification?
I would say it's completely accurate. And in fact, it seems to me extremely plausible. And actually, we wrote something about that again after that third round review and that last reviewer who suggested to talk about prions. And that was when we realized these exosomes are really crucial. Exosomes are really something that's been a big topic recently. It wasn't something people were that aware of. You know, researchers in biology weren't that aware of exosomes in the past. But right now, they're very excited about them. We're even actually designing now vaccines that are COVID-19 vaccines based on exosomes. They're actually proposing to use exosomes as a form of vaccination, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, self-spreading
because
vaccines.
That's the last stage of what's happening with these immune cells when they're in that spleen and they're furiously making the spike protein, and it's very toxic to that cell and it's trying to survive. So it just says, I got to get rid of this stuff, you know, so it just pushes all these little pellets out into the circulation, and they go throughout the body. They go along the vagus nerve up to the brain and cause all kinds of trouble there. But then they just exit right straight through the, I think they're ending up in breast milk. And there was actually an infant who died of thrombosis from breastfeeding from his mother who had been vaccinated. I was really surprised to see that, but it makes sense because I think those exosomes that are being probably pushed out into the breast milk, it makes sense to me they would go there.
Oh my God. I forgot to tell you something really important about breast milk. So Rogan had me tested again.
Test what?
For COVID.
Oh, tested. Yes, for COVID. Tested for COVID.
And I actually said, is this an insurance policy? He says, no, I just don't want any bullshit. I don't want anyone to say anything. Oh, I said, an insurance policy. Yeah. So I'm talking to the nurse, and they also had the antibodies test. I said, do you mind? Can I have the antibodies test? So I'm negative for COVID, negative for antibodies. And she told me, she said, there's actually evidence, and she's a nurse in hospitals as well, that babies that drank breast milk from mothers who had antibodies had antibodies. And I'm thinking, exit strategy product. Seriously. I mean, it's made by nature. It's
well,
tasty.
If you listen to this, what you just heard, because that was, now again, what you just heard was someone got the vaccination,
right?
And it was the spike proteins that got into the milk. And
yes, no, I know. I'm just saying that was an interesting side note. But this is what she's what she discussed earlier was the so-called self-spreading vaccines. We've talked about that. At least we've seen it. I think we talked about it briefly. And that would be through the use of these exosomes. Nice.
This is the part two.
They would go out into the lungs. They would go out into the skin through the sweat. I mean, they're going to just try to, their body's trying to get rid of this toxic thing that it's coping with. And the way to get rid of it is to shed it. And so, you know, if somebody's nearby, they're going to pick it up. They can breathe it in and they can get skin contact. I think that they could easily get it. So I was surprised when I started hearing people say that, oh my God, I hung out with my grandmother who got vaccinated. I got sick. My periods got screwed up. All of a sudden I got a really heavy period. I've always been very regular. I was getting stories like that. And at first, of course, it's like, oh, that's just crazy, really crazy, but perfectly fine explanation based on these exosomes.
So you're saying this is not a subtle or small effect, but that if you were to spend, I mean, what kind of contact, let's cut right to the chase here. What kind of contact and amount of contact would you say is safe or not safe with vaccinated people?
I mean, how do you know? I can't really say. I just was really quite surprised. And it's not just one or two people. I'm seeing, of course, I'm watching for it, but I'm seeing a lot of stories on the web. Greg Nye has actually talked to two or three people, women who experienced menstrual irregularities by hanging out with people who'd been vaccinated. So he's seen it first. You know, his people he knows have experienced it. I think it's real and it makes sense. I mean, it's a completely plausible mechanism and it's based on these exosomes, which is the thing I'm most scared of at this point.
Wow. So just being around vaccinated people is in fact dangerous.
That's what the implications are, yes.
From this MIT researcher. Well, I don't like that at all.
No, in fact, but this is, again, she says nothing new that we haven't discussed on the show in one way or another.
Yeah. But this.
But there we call it viral shedding, but it's not. It's exosomes.
was there any indication, you watched the whole thing, is there any indication that these are like right after the vaccination and then they go away?
Or? They didn't have a time element in.
Wow.
So no.
Wow.
But, but it makes you wonder, like, if you're dating someone who got the mRNA shot and, you know, you didn't, you know, what's the effect on you? That kind of thing.
It's Well, we had notes from producers. Remember one of our producers, he said he was dating a woman and he couldn't maintain an erection and she was vaccinated. He wasn't. And then when they broke up, no problem. Now, it could be other things, but he said it was pretty sure.
It could be. Yes.
Could have been a couple things, but wow. Oh, man.
Well, I got it. Before I wrap this, let me go on with a couple other things there. But before, just as a quick aside, she did mention something about Roundup because she's a Roundup expert.
Oh, you the weed killer Roundup?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what, glyphosate? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, you got it. You're nailing it.
Isn't there?
She's got a little gotcha in here. I want to play this just as, and you'll get back to this COVID stuff right after this. This is Steph Sennett on Roundup.
Just for the record, glyphosates are that call affectionately know as Roundup. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Yes, it's all over the food supply. It's all over the air. It's in the air, the water, the food supply. It's considered perfectly safe by the government. So they don't even, U.S. government doesn't even manage, bother to test. Actually, Canada had a big initiative, and they tested for lots of different foods, both Canadian and imports. And a friend of mine, Tony Mitra, produced a book out of that. He was the one who got them to do it. They tested over 8,000 different foods. I was really impressed, the Canadian government. And Tony Mitra wrote a book called Poison Foods of North America. And it's a dry book. It has a lot of data in there about all these different foods. But they found very high levels, Canada did, in garbanzo beans and chickpeas, like hummus. You know, these sort of
hummus,
legumes.
Throw it out, Tina.
And also, of course, in wheat and oats, cookies, you know, goldfish crackers, and very high levels in foods from Canada and the United States compared to even Mexico. Mexico came out much more like Europe. Europe had generally much lower levels than America did. And Mexico was much better. Mexico has actually decided to ban glyphosate. They're going to wipe it out by 2024. The U.S. government and Monsanto have been harassing them to back down. So far, they have not. I'm very proud of Mexico. If Mexico bans glyphosate, it's going to be a real problem for the United States to be next door to Mexico, I think, and mildly producing glyphosate and poisoning its populations.
Wow, she's not polarizing at all, is she?
She's the best.
You know, I see commercials all the time at night. You know, it's the local inserts on cable. If you got cancer and you were using Roundup, then we have a lawsuit for you.
Yeah, and you make $50.
If you, that much? Seriously? I got to join your class action.
Yeah, you're right. It's more like $5.
Yeah, that's pretty disturbing.
Before we get to the clips on the incentives, I've got three more clips that have to do with the lab leak.
Go for it. Let's do it.
And
bust it.
And one of them starts off with this woman who is, you know, again, it's Sky News. This is Shari. Mm-hmm. I think Mugganet. I can't remember her last name, but she just goes by Shari. And she just wrote a book on the lab leak theory. And I got two clips from her. And then I have a hearing that Jim Jordan was part of in Congress that all the Democrats said, no, we're not going to do this. And so the Republicans did the hearing without the Democrats, and that's kind of fascinating too. And there's a little
that's my favorite kind.
Yeah, there's a little gotcha in there. So let's start with Shari on the lab leak.
China and its cronies have repeatedly insisted over the past year and a half that the possibility of a laboratory leak in Wuhan is a conspiracy theory. This is a lie. As part of investigating this topic for my book, What Really Happened in Wuhan, we found official documents that show the Chinese government took concerns about a potential lab leak extremely seriously. So seriously, they said a lab leak involving virus research could place the whole of mankind in great danger. Mankind. This was the warning they included in their formal submission to the United Nations Biological Weapons Convention in 2011. There has only been one convention since then. They're every 5 years. And China's submission in 2016 had virtually no details at all. This document from 2011 states, accidental mistakes in biotech laboratories can place mankind in great danger. Synthetic biology in some civilian biotechnology research and applications may unintentionally give rise to new, highly hazardous man-made pathogens with unforeseeable consequences. This is so far from a conspiracy theory that China then suggests that laboratory controls should be improved right across the world. This is what they say. State parties should constantly tighten biosafety management, especially of virulent pathogens, in their laboratories and eliminate biosafety risks. China's declaration to this United Nations convention begins by noting that modern biological sciences play an important role in helping mankind combat disease and improve health. But they then say, at the same time, the use of new kinds of biotechnology for hostile purposes poses a latent threat to human society, and they say this is growing.
Clearly, this woman is QAnon. How do they let her on the air?
Well, in Australia, they have a little more leeway than around here.
Well, only on Sky News. The rest of Australia is pretty locked down.
Yeah, Sky News, I don't know what they've got something on someone.
Well, it's the same. So, it's a Murdoch thing. Tucker Carlson gets to do whatever he wants to do, and Sky News in Australia gets to do whatever they want to do.
It's about as far as it goes.
Because they don't care about the advertising loss for some reason.
So, yeah. So she goes on this part two coming up. So she... I have to cut. This is long, and so I had to. I'll wrap up some stuff that happened in the middle, which is that this paper that where she's just quoted all those headlines from, which was submitted in 2011 by the Chinese, was part of a bigger document, which was turned out to be kind of disappeared, and she dug it up. And then the second part, she dug it up and found the paper, and then now she's going to go on to what that rest of the thing said. Now, in 2011, the Chinese, the Communist Party of China, had a slightly different attitude about everything than it does now.
I'll bet.
And so that's why in 2016 they didn't submit anything, and now they're mum about everything. And I think a lot of it has to do with Xi, and is because it's after 2011 that he decided he's going to be the permanent emperor. So this is the part two of this.
We were able to locate finally this quite extraordinary document. And what it discusses is more terrifying than anything I have ever read. It discusses weaponizing specific viruses to target races. It is a shocking and grotesque area of bioresearch. This is official Chinese government submission to the United Nations. It states that the Human Genome Project has helped to reveal population-specific genetic variations across the genome. It then says, it can also create the potential for biological weapons based on genetic differences between races. It says, once hostile elements grasp that different ethnic groups harbor intrinsically different genetic susceptibilities to particular pathogens, they can put that knowledge into practice and create genetic weapons targeted at a racial group with a particular susceptibility.
You know, there was a story. I'm looking for it now at Bingit.
You're looking for that. I will mention that in the beginning of this whole thing, if you recall, back in March of 2020, over a year ago, it was this aspect of it was discussed. We thought that it was targeting the Han Chinese, if you remember.
And I learned, I can't find the article quick enough, but I think it's Ancestry.com. They send that, you know, they also do DNA tests now. And they send their DNA test. And eventually it's processed by a lab in China who make a copy of your DNA and hold on to that to, I don't know, target you maybe later on down the road.
Well, let's go to the hearings that the Republicans did because the Democrats would have none of it. And this is how it kind of wraps up. This is the hearing on the origins of the virus, and this is a retired biological chemical guy who was was in the government for a long time and telling us the real horror of it all.
Dr. Asher talked about export controls for biotechnology, and I know he knows this as well or better than I do. But it's not just technology, but it's information, and our genetic information is actually critical. And I do assess that the Chinese have set up circumstances that they're doing a lot of our gene sequencing of Americans that are through normal labs or even through studies at the NIH. And they're doing that for a reason, and that genetic sequences are powerful. They know our vulnerabilities. It is the first step in devising a potentially ethnic weapon, as was discussed by Dr. Asher. And similarly, I don't know if it's still the case, but I believe it is, you're not going to see any genetic sequences of Chinese exported out of the country. That was a law. There's a reason for that. And when we talk about export of technology, export of our genetic information may be the most important key that we need to stop.
Well, I want to make sure I understand this. So American genetic information is going to China, the same China that Dr. Asher talked about is doing bioweapon research with this stuff, and you're saying that combination is a particular concern.
It is an absolutely huge concern from where I sit. And again, I've been out of the formal bioweapons defense part of the government for a period of time, but genetic information is very powerful, right? It decides who we are. It tells us about our vulnerabilities, not only disease states, but potential for genetic weapons. And what I mean by that is there are variations in receptors and other things that vary by populations, and those can potentially be exploited so that a new pathogen would differentially target a race, a European ancestry versus someone else. And we are essentially just giving all that information to China in the context of what I do believe is an unprecedented and terrifying.
What's the rationale for giving that to China? I mean, I think that's a fundamental question we got to ask on all this. Why are we giving all this information to China?
Because most people in the community are either naive to the threat, they deny the threat, they're oblivious to the threat, or just don't want to think about it.
Chinese genetics company BGI.
Yep. In fact, the next guy who came up on this panel was bitching about the fact that all these companies are using BGI to do all the 23andMe, all these things were all going through BGI, and BGI is a Chinese company. They're just collecting all this stuff. Yeah, they're giving you results and they're keeping a copy.
New story from this morning. BGI is accused of misusing fetal DNA harvested from prenatal testing around the world. For its part, BGI claims its collaborations improve population health outcomes around the world. No, but they do. So there's also a possibility, now that I think about it, that the USG, that would be the U.S. government, knows this is going on. They've rushed to get a some kind of countermeasure in a DNA, mRNA vaccine treatment, and they're really trying to save us. That's possible. And we're sitting here laughing, like, ha, 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 I don't want that stupid vaccine.
Let's see. You think it's possible?
Anything's possible.
I mean, looking at the players, Fauci, Pfizer.
Nah, you're.
You
what,
think
what
any
am
of
I
this
thinking?
Is possible
what
if you just
thinking?
Examine the players?
What am I thinking?
Biden.
All right, let's look at some incentives, shall we? But first, well, this is actually the best incentive. This got a lot of play. I think it needs just a tad bit of discussion. Jen Psaki, she is the spokesperson for the White House.
The president will outline five areas his team is focused on to get more Americans vaccinated. One, targeted community by community door-to-door outreach to get remaining Americans vaccinated by ensuring they have the information they need on how both safe and accessible the vaccine is.
Now, this caused a lot of ruckus, people saying, they're coming to force vax us, rah, rah! Which is not being said. But as we know, the scariest words in the English language are supposed to be, I'm from the government, I'm here to help. And I have two questions. One, how do they know what door to knock on? Do they already have a list? Are they just going to knock on every door and see if they get lucky? And if you don't want a vaccine or send them away, do you get put on a list? We don't like lists in America. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure which is, yes.
Well, I don't know that they're even doing this. I mean, I keep hearing about it. So if they come to your door and they go, you know, yes, we're here to promote the vaccine. Here's some stuff. I said, oh, give me some literature. I said, I already got the shot, though. Okay. I mean, they're not going to do it. They don't have a computer with them. They're not going to be checking.
How do you know? You don't know any of this.
No, I don't, but I know how the government works. Now.
Well,
the government works.
Well,
for one thing, the guys who go door to door, they're like the lowest end of everyone, and they're just trying to get through the day.
Well, listen to this.
Tonight, federal officials are deploying a COVID surge team to help Missouri medical workers deal with a growing COVID crisis.
Surge team.
In the past month, hospitalizations are up more than 50%, and cases have tripled at Mercy Hospital in Springfield.
The disease process is faster than before, and they are getting sicker sooner than before.
Dr. Mayral Flores is a pulmonary critical care physician at Mercy, where the ventilator supply at one point last week was critically low.
It feels like a lot of people have let their guards down.
It's very saddening to talk to a patient, and all of them invariably said, I wish I would have taken the vaccine.
So they're sending out surge teams to go and talk to people about getting the vaccine. I think they're doing that, absolutely. They can just go hire the same people who did the census. They got a tablet. They come by your house, they knock on your door. I'm just asking, how do they know which doors to knock on? Or is it just
knock on everyone's door? That's the way the census guy. Well, no, you're right. The census guy's only knocked on certain doors. Now, the census guy came by here.
He came by our place, too.
And it was just a classic, the way it always goes. The census guy comes by.
What?
Oh, I'm just looking at the mail. It says Eric says he didn't get the checks.
He did not. No, I know.
Well, Jay sent them.
Let's move on.
Okay. They come by, and this guy says, oh, you didn't fill out your census. Oh, yeah, I'm going to send it in next week. He left. That was it.
Again, if you say, I'm not interested in what you have to say, you're on a list. The government should not be coming by your house for any reason.
Well, I agree.
This is dumb. Now, what Jen Psaki was explaining is what the 5 points were that the president would be communicating in his, she's basically setting everybody up. Said, look, I know the guy is going to bumble and fumble through it. So let me tell you exactly what is meant here. And then you can just take a soundbite from him. And boy, I'm glad she did because he bumbled it up.
Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door to door, literally knocking on doors. To get help to the remaining people protected from the virus.
Now, how does that make any sense? We've got to get to the remaining people protected by the virus. I mean, come on. Is that in the copy, or is the guy, he can't read, or is he ad-libbing?
He can't read. It's another one. Put it in the collection.
Of course it's in the collection.
To get help to the remaining people protected from the virus.
To get help to the remaining people to be protected from the virus.
To be protected.
But he didn't say any of that.
No, he can't.
All right, Fauci, since you mentioned him, he's still out doing as many appearances as he can to incentivize people. Incentivize.
Here we have a vaccine that's highly, highly effective in preventing disease and certainly in preventing severe disease and hospitalization. It's easy to get. It's free. And it's readily available. So, you know, you've got to ask, what is the problem? Get over it. Get over this political statement. Just get over it and try and save the lives of yourself and your family.
Oh, my God. I should go right now. Did you hear that? Save your family. Jeez. Save the children. In New Zealand, they don't mess around. You will take the vaccine.
I think early next year we'll be in the phase of chasing up people who haven't come forward to get their vaccination or have missed their bookings and so on. So everyone will be able to get a vaccine between now and the end of the year. But of course, you know, and I want every New Zealander to come forward, but human behaviour suggests that there will be some people that we have to actually really go out and look for. And some of that may spill into next year. But our commitment is everyone will have the opportunity to get the vaccine by the end of the year. Everyone will. But I can't say that, you know, that we're not going to have some hesitant people or some people who just haven't come forward that we don't have to go out and find next year.
Oh, man. We'll be chasing them down like dogs. Don't worry.
Is that guy a fast talker?
We'll find you next year. Ah, this is incredible. Incredible. Up to the northwest, just a little bit, the New South Wales health minister in Australia.
Prime Minister has this morning confirmed the COVID strain now spreading in New South Wales has come from Victoria. Let's go to Robert Avadia in the hotspot of Campbelltown in Sydney's southwest.
Crossroads went there, and two subsequent cases have contacted who didn't go to the crossroads but got it from Planet Fitness.
This is a world pandemic. It's a 1 in 100 year event. So you can expect that we will have transmission from time to time, and that's just the way it is. We've got to accept that this is the new world order.
I love it when people say that. Just being honest. Just accept it.
Wow.
This is the new world order, baby. Just accept it. It's all good. I know. Yeah, this is a great time to be a podcaster. I mean, it is just shooting fish.
You definitely can't do this reporting that we're doing on any other means of getting it out.
And sometimes
it's not allowable.
Well, this is on TV. I mean, the guy's actually saying it. It's just no.
No, I know, but it's not. Yeah, it's on. It's one shot. It's not being highlighted.
Well, no.
We're highlighting it.
Let's highlight your backyard. Vaccine incentives. And these are real incentives in California. Go, Cali.
Hey, California. Did you hear about the big vaccine incentives program?
Oh, did you, John? Did you hear about the big vaccines incentive program? Did you hear about it?
No.
You should get on that shit, man. It's great.
Hey, California, did you hear about the big vaccine incentives program? You Call the Shot California gives $50 incentive cards for things like groceries or shopping at your favorite small business to the next 2 million Californians who begin and complete their vaccination against COVID-19. Make that vaccine appointment today at myturn.ca.gov or call 833-422-4255. Get vaxxed for the win, people. It's a win-win for you and California. Vaccinated Californians ages 12 and up.
Well, this is an ad, man. That's how we talk in advertising. Come on, don't you want to be one of the first? Get in at the next 2 million right now while stocks last. Here's another one.
We've spent a lot of time playing solo the past year. COVID-19 vaccines are helping us jump back into the things we love. With the people we love. They're safe and effective for everyone 12 and above. Which means we're one step closer to getting the whole band back together.
All right, guys, let's rock. 2, 3, 4.
Make an appointment at myturn.ca.gov today.
Wow, baby, you guys are on fire in California.
Yeah, we are on fire.
But you're not quite as good as Michigan. I think Michigan has a better promotion. The prizes certainly seem better.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer says a new sweepstakes giving away millions of dollars is intended to entice more people to get the COVID-19 vaccine. And she says she's so confident in this program that it'll be a bigger success than the state of Ohio's.
If you've not gotten the vaccine yet, the virus is still a very real threat to you.
At a press conference announcing a brand new lottery-style sweepstakes and website to promote COVID-19 vaccinations, we find no shortage of excitement.
Our goal is also to bless some young folks to help, let's say, incentivize them to further their education and just to help along the way.
The multi-million dollar sweepstakes that include lots of money for college scholarships, we've learned will be funded with federal dollars.
Some of you must be thinking, didn't Ohio do this first? Well, yes, they did. But in typical Michigan fashion, we wanted to do it bigger and better.
You can register once at the website myshottowin.com for the drawings. That includes a $1 million drawing, a $2 million drawing, multiple $50,000 drawings, and 9 $55,000 college scholarship drawings.
Man.
Weeks ago, the governor said a lottery would not happen under state rules, but she's since partnered with the United Way and Meijer to run this campaign independent of the Michigan Lottery.
I mean, this is great. These payouts, of course, you don't get a lump sum, so there's no risk. You get the vax, you win the 2 million, you probably only collect a couple thousand.
Probably.
And let's see how America's doing. We need to see what people are thinking who are vaccinated, unvaccinated. ABC gave us a little rundown.
Our new poll found 74% of unvaccinated people say they definitely or probably will not get the shot.
A lot of people are getting information from the internet, and a lot of it is false. What I'm trying to now talk to some of my patients who are believing that the vaccine causes infertility somehow. And this has been a myth that has been circulating on the internet since April. And it's very important to understand that we need to follow the science and not just things you read off the internet.
So MIT researcher that is not following the science, because she said literally that in your clips. This could cause infertility, and that's just dumb shit on the internet. Dumb shit on the, which we arguably we are. Let's check in with Australia again, and let's see how they handle dumb shit on the internet when people call into the radio shows. This is Radio 3. This is Melbourne Sunday morning show from the 4th of July. Go ahead, caller.
Second thing to raise is just recently the reduction in infections and cases in India, where vaccines have only been administered to 4.32% of the population, which can be found on the Johns Hopkins University website. The belief there now is reasonably clear that a combination of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine are effective. And
I don't know if that's true at all. Yeah. I don't know where you get the information.
No,
the medical profession.
Phil, there's a lot of medical experts that disagree with you. I don't know whether you've got a medical degree or what your background is, but I think we should leave that to the medical experts. It seems like there's a bit of a concerted campaign. That's the second person today.
That's right.
Two cases in the New South Wales area were infectious in the community.
Actually, Professor Peter Doherty, who's kind of the guru with all this, has got an institute named after him and a Nobel Prize, so I think he knows what he's talking about, said there's just not enough evidence that ivermectin makes a difference in order to give it out clinically. There has been anecdotal evidence, small trials, but he was tweeting about this yesterday, saying you can't give it carte blanche because we don't know if it actually is that effective, and is there side effects that could be more dangerous.
And he is the expert, the type of expert we should be talking to with these sorts of issues with. If that changes, that's good, and we can adopt it. But at the moment, it's not like that.
So, how do you like that? Oh, no, shut up. You're the second person. There must be a campaign. It must be the damn ivermectin company that's trying to get... Are you kidding me?
Make a dollar a pill.
I mean, people are
this is like they've gotten government edicts to tell them not, you know, you get this. No, you can't talk about it. Who's controlling this?
Well, I mean,
somebody's controlling it. You don't have this kind of firewall unless somebody's telling you to put it up.
I'd love for it to be Klaus Schwab because he's just the perfect villain, but I don't think he's powerful enough. No,
he's got nothing to do with it.
You know, there are pharma companies.
It's the drug companies that are sponsoring these shows.
Over the coming months, millions of Australians will roll up a sleeve to get the Pfizer BioNTech jab, just as millions have done for the AstraZeneca shot already. But if you take a look at the vial before the syringe goes in, you may notice something curious. The lack of the actual Pfizer name on the label. That's right. They're going to rebrand. It will become Comirnaty. It's C-O-M-I-R-N-A-T-Y. How the hell did you pronounce that?
I don't know.
Comirnaty. And Moderna will change. Oh, man. Someone at Moderna is great. Guess what the new rebranded... brand name of Moderna vaccine will be. You're never going to guess this.
I'll never guess.
Spikevax.
What?
Yes, Spikevax.
Spikevax, like spike in the ball.
Or like spike protein?
Spike protein.
And that's from...
Spikevax, that's a terrible name.
That's from news.com.au. Spikevax.
And this is only in Australia? They're not changing it here.
That's like putting a... changing the name from Coke to... Sugar will kill you. Drink. Spikevax. I just can't see that as being a great idea, but okay. Now, the UK has changed their strategy. This is almost as odd as...
This is out of... But by the way, this report here, I thought mine was bad. This is out of control.
You're welcome.
And it has a lot to do with manipulating the media. It's very disturbing.
That's why we exist. That's why people support us. That's why I had to move to Texas Hill Country to be safe. So the UK has changed their strategy. And this is, in my mind, very similar to what happened in the United States, where the masks changed overnight, no more masks. And then, you know, John Stewart came out and talked about the lab theory and everything's like, oh, okay, so let's dim it all down a little bit and things aren't quite that bad. But people were very surprised it came without warning. So now Boris Johnson and the health officials have said, all right, July 19th, everybody out, we're done. And the way I understand it, it's better just to have young people. They might get it, but nothing's going to happen. I mean, it's a very progressive stance they're taking. And I wonder why this change all of a sudden. And I don't think the medical slash biosecurity state is on board, seeing as we're already seeing reports of code black in some of the hospitals. Okay. I'm not quite sure what that means, but they're trying to do something. Yeah, two NHS hospitals declare code black alert as COVID cases soar. So they made this change. And I guess there's not a sufficient answer. A reporter from the BBC called into the weekly World Health Organization call. That's the one where they're sitting at the big Starfleet Command round table. You got the Dutch girl there, and you got the, you know, you got Tedros. And this question came in, and I mean, it's not going to answer the reason for the strategy. But she did ask, and the answer was just baffling.
Thank you very much. We have 10 minutes left, so let's try to take a few more questions. We have Naomi Grimley from BBC. Naomi, please unmute yourself.
Ask Dr. Ryan another question about the UK change of policy, because I think it's being watched around the world. Part of the government's reasoning, they say, is that if they have an exit wave now in August, it's better than having one later in September. So they're gambling on cases going up sharply and then falling back down pretty sharply. Could you just explain to me a bit more about whether you think that's too hopeful, or whether you know, that there is some good grounds to believe that will work?
Thanks for the question. I'm not aware that's the logic driving our colleagues in the United Kingdom. I suspect it's not. I would like to verify that's the logic. But the logic of more people being infected is better is, I think, logic that has proven its moral emptiness and its epidemiologic stupidity previously.
What? He said it's moral emptiness and epidemiological stupidity. So there's a problem there. Why did they do this? And if the World Health Organization says they're stupid, then what's going on? They're not following science or something. It's weird, isn't it?
This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
So he's going against the narrative of the UK. And he was angry about it when you see the video. Now, Matt Hancock was the health minister in the UK, and he had to quit. We didn't cover this story, but he was caught. I think he was making out with a woman in an elevator, which means he wasn't social distancing.
Caught on camera.
Yeah, he got caught on camera. Now, it turns out the woman who was with works for a company that got a lot of NHS contracts. That may be part of the reason why they kicked him out. But maybe this clip that just popped up, maybe that's a bigger problem. This is from a couple of years ago. Matt Hancock at the World Economic Forum Summit meeting, and this is what he had to say.
Could you tell who you are, what you do, and actually where you live as well?
I'm Matt Hancock. I'm the UK Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, and I'm also the proud shareholder of Genomics England, which is one of the most cutting-edge organisations for genome sequencing in the world. And we, in December, hit the target of 100,000 whole genomes sequenced, and we have reiterated a new goal of reaching a million.
In
UK, over the next 5 years, and the critical next phase will be to deliver that within clinical settings in a way that improves people's lives.
So he's a shareholder in a genetic sequencing company, and this is before the pandemic, before a lot of genetic sequencing, testing, vaccines. What kind of conflict of interest must that be?
There's also some element that tape of him being kissing in the elevator, wherever it was leaked by the Chinese.
Oh, really?
Put the cameras in there. And the cameras are recording for security purposes, but at the same time sending these to China. And now there's a big stink in the House of Lords, moaning and groaning about these cameras that shouldn't have been put in the first place, because there was some cautionary tales about using this company that does these cameras, these security systems.
How about everything from China? Yeah. So something's up there.
Something's up, yeah.
Last two, this is now going to mandatory vaccinations, always a fun topic. CBS Evening News, Major Garrett talks to Vivek Murthy.
The government's vaccine persuasion campaign.
That by itself is just beautiful. The government's vaccine persuasion campaign.
The government's vaccine persuasion campaign, such as it is, seems to have hit a wall. Will the government at the federal level start encouraging schools and businesses to mandate vaccines?
This is not just something government's going to solve or the private sector. We've all got to work together. But going forward, you know, we're getting to the hard part of this vaccination campaign. And it's going to take, you know, individuals having conversations with their family and friends. It's going to take doctors and nurses talking to their patients and communities. And it's going to take employers and schools doing everything that they can to help encourage and support people in getting vaccinated.
You know, the best prison is the ones the inmate build themselves. Feels a little bit like that's what's going on. Get everybody on board. It's okay. We'll be fine.
What is going to be necessary to change the minds that haven't yet been changed on the vaccination question?
Well, I think something that more broadly as a country that we have struggled with over the last year and change is that this pandemic has unfortunately been very politicized in some ways. I think people have also been subject to a great deal of misinformation.
Of course. But that's true. I've also been susceptible to some misinformation. I have a couple corrections to make. First of all, the Portugal COVID death count, which I had reported, as was sent to me, that it had gone from 17,000 down to 152,000, and that was verified by the court in Portugal. Luckily, we have producers all over the world who also live in Portugal, and the original court document says, and the physicians working for the Ministry of Justice, not the Ministry of Justice itself, which is only a small fraction of the doctors in Portugal. The court verified 152 COVID deaths are only those certified by doctors of the Ministry of Justice who perform autopsies in cases of death without a violent or uncertain cause. So it still could be a small fraction, but it was not the way I reported it. Same goes for the CEO, the Pfizer CEO, not having received the COVID-19 vaccine. That was an old clip. That was from December 2020. Very, very poor on my part. I could have checked that. I was in a rush. I didn't.
Where'd you get it?
It was sent to me, of course. And you always say, block the person. I'm not going to do that.
Block the person who sent it to you.
Not going
to
do that. And the final one, it was a great clip and it was funny. But it wasn't even a Tesla that struck it wasn't a Tesla that was struck by lightning. We had the gamer kid. That was a whole montage. It was funny, and I thought it was great. But it was a Jeep. It wasn't even a Tesla. I really got punked on that one. That was funny.
Gonna roll.
Good job, guys. Thanks. Okay. Couple other things. One is one of our producers keeps emailing me links of weird accidents, and he calls them vaccidents, and he says, I think we're going to see a lot of these. So there's a story of, let me see, what is this? Just some car strikes mailbox tree before smashing into vehicles in residential neighborhood. There's a lot of people losing control over their vehicles. There's some questions about a plane crash. And then when you look at the latest reporting, which, and who did this come from? Avoid swimming, jogging, etc. first week after COVID jabs. Housework is safe. So you have to wonder, I mean, should you be operating heavy machinery like a car? Should you wait
a
week?
That's a good point.
Should you wait a week? I mean, why would all that be okay?
Just stay home for a week.
Perhaps. So there's all kinds of...
That's an interesting, whoever this guy is, this producer. Mm-hmm. That he is on it. He might be onto something.
Yes. Someone else sent
Did he coin the word vaccident, or is it something that's in the ether, and he picked it up, and maybe there's other people onto it.
He spells it V-A-X-X-I-S-H, and I just think, no, Vaxident. Just spell it the way
it is. You made up the
term. He came Vaxident, and I said, why don't you just call it Vaxident? That's much better. And then there's another weird report that this has cropped up many times, but it seems Ortohantavirus is cropping up here and there. The last time it was a big news story was in 2013, of all places, Camp Curry in Yosemite.
Yeah, Hanta would be it's places like Camp Curry.
And it's from mice, right?
It's mouse crap.
But if you read about it, hantavirus, single-stranded, envelope, negative-sense RNA virus. That already caught my eye. Like, oh, it's RNA might have something to do with it. But if you look at the symptoms, man, it's very, very similar to COVID.
Mm.
Very, and it's in your airways as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that could be mistaken for it or... God knows what. Yeah,
Hant has never had huge numbers. I don't think that would account for much. Okay.
All right. Hey, I found the golf clip.
This morning, an urgent manhunt for a suspect believed to have murdered three people, including killing a golf pro at this country club outside Atlanta Saturday. Police say they were dispatched to the Pine Tree Country Club just before 2:30 p.m. following reports of a shooting.
A white pickup truck drove onto the putting green. Shots were fired, and now there's a man laying on the ground.
Investigators finding that truck trapped on the green of the 10th hole, and golf pro Eugene Siller dead from an apparent gunshot wound to the head. The suspect fled the scene and remains at large.
He believes that the shooter had a white shirt on, possibly a dark-skinned Hispanic male.
Police also discovering two other victims in the bed of the pickup truck. The truck's registered owner, Paul Pearson, and another unidentified male, both with gunshot wounds. The country club president telling ABC News Siller, who was a Pine Tree employee for almost 2 years, was out working on the course the day of the shooting, and that the car's owner had no connection to the country club.
How about that, huh? That's an odd story.
Sounds like gambling debts to me.
Oh, there you go. I hadn't even thought of that one.
Yeah, golfers are big gamblers.
Note from a producer who's a doctor. I just got off the phone with a patient who's being admitted for COVID plus. I think that's a joke. She's a very intelligent nurse practitioner, which is nurse practitioners, you know, they're the real deal. And more capable of making her own well-informed treatment and well capable of making her own treatment decisions. However, most of our phone call was spent with regard to the fact that her physician would probably not be favorable to ivermectin, and if not, what would happen next? The two of us agree, based on our education and experience, that it might work, but aren't sure of it because of all the censorship. We both get the basic logic that a possible solution to a deadly disease, even if unlikely to work, is warranted when it carries an extremely low risk. So what we have is someone who completely understands her situation, is scared and stuck in an isolation room, worrying whether or not she'll be able to get a safe drug that I have sitting right here on the shelf because of money and politics. A doctor and a nurse practitioner. Can you believe that? That's what it's come to.
I can believe it.
That's really sad when it comes down to that. Messed up.
So it happens when you stop the flow of information thanks to censorship, which is what this all amounts to.
And then since I have no clips, I didn't see you had any. I just want to briefly talk about Haiti. We know a lot about Haiti from the earthquake. We tracked all of the corruption from the Clinton Foundation, the billions of dollars, the presidents they installed, the ones they got rid of, Sweet Baby Doc, we remember. Billions of dollars, three houses built. I'm exaggerating, but not by very much. And so the president of Haiti, Jovenel Moïse, was killed. He was assassinated. And I knew exactly where to go. I went to Haiti Libre. Because that's what I remember. That's where we're getting good information from. It's boots on the ground in Haiti. They're independent. They publish on the web. And oh, my God. So first of all, this president, I think he had seven prime ministers that he'd gone through in the past couple of years. He just kept firing people. And, you know, Haiti is a shit show. There's 95 gangs roaming through Port-au-Prince, And, you know, people are, when they can, they leave the country. The whole place has gone to hell in a handbasket, which in my mind kind of plays right into the globalist handbook. You know, they really love the Caribbean. They want all the islands down there. And so this guy gets killed. The day before he's assassinated, he appoints a new prime minister. So then he's killed. But then the old prime minister, who he kicked out, says, I'm now the president. So that's kind of stinky. And wouldn't you know it, and this is the path I'm going down. Assassinated president, here it is, strong opponent of China. China tried to give them $30 billion, said, nah, I don't want it. They want to do Belt and Road. And now he's dead. And now the guy he was trying to get out to replace with the new prime minister is now claiming the presidency. What are the odds China just took it? The Haiti Libre says that the officials say the assassins were a commando group that were foreigners, so they were not from Haiti.
Well, that would be kind of an upgrade to the way the Chinese have been operating.
Yeah. They're sick of waiting. They're sick of trying to convince people to do something fun. I will just kill you. I don't know. But, you know, Haiti is not an unimportant strategic spot.
It would be a good spot for the Belt and Road.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, as would Afghanistan. Looks like China's already moving in with a $63 billion offer. For the poppies?
Yeah. Well, listen to this. Fox has this general who keeps coming on and yakking about stuff. I can't remember his name, but you've seen him a million times. He's an ex. I don't know if he was ever a spook or not, but he was in the army. And there's a little, I have this clip where I think is like he makes a mistake here when he discusses, they're talking about that pull out and all the rest of it, and it's going to cause a civil war, and everyone's all on board with that idea. But see if you can read between the lines in this very short 29-second clip where I call it, I think there's a gaffe in here. That tell me if you can hear it.
Add to that, General, the commander in Afghanistan, Scott Miller, saying that the security situation is deteriorating and we could be headed for civil war. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we're pretty much on that path. I mean, what's really happening here? When we pull out our intelligence, and that's the system of intelligence, as well as the platforms, particularly drones and others, to be able to know where the enemy is and what the enemy's doing, a lot of that for the Afghan security forces is now gone.
Wait a minute. I want to hear that just that last bit again. Hold on.
Yeah, we're pretty much on that path. I mean, what's really happening here? When we pull out our intelligence, and that's the system of intelligence, as well as the platforms, particularly drones and others, to be able to know where the enemy is and what the enemy's doing, a lot of that for the Afghan security forces is now gone.
When we pull out our intelligence, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is smooth, though.
Yeah.
Not pulling out troops.
Yeah,
when we pull out our intelligence, I mean the system of intelligence.
Good try, bro.
It was better than a good try. I thought it was smooth as silk.
Well done. Well, they need an airstrip, that's for sure. Unless China comes in, I mean, it's like $62 billion. Unless China comes in, but man, I mean, shouldn't the conversation right now for just a little bit be, let's take stock of these past 21 or 20 years, shall we? Let's just see, was that worth it? What did we achieve? I mean, that would be a good topic for a cable news channel, or even, a national, like the 3x3. It could be a conversation instead of blue light and sunscreen. But no, you got to come to a podcast for it. Congratulations. And then I just wanted to mention that a guy I know his wife too, a crime reporter, Peter R. de Vries, was shot in the face in broad daylight in Amsterdam after he left the television studio.
Yikes.
And so I'll just give a little background on the guy. He's been around for a long time. I've met him, I've done shows with him before. And so he was shot in the face. You have to understand, the Netherlands is a crime country. It's always been a seafaring nation, and we just push goods around. You want some slaves? We give you slaves. You want some spices? We'll take care of the spices. You know, you want some MDMA? Yeah, we make them here. You want to traffic some coke throughout Europe? Bring it on into the harbor of Rotterdam. Everyone knows this. The justice system is completely ineffective. And this guy was, in fact, advising a state's witness against a guy who's currently incarcerated for murder and drug trafficking. And wouldn't you know it, just a week or two ago, the guy somehow was interviewed, the one incarcerated, was interviewed on television. He said, hey, but you know what? I'm never going to threaten Peter R. DeVries. I'll never do that. And then 2 weeks later, he gets shot in the face. This is the crime country that is. Go to Amsterdam. Have a good time. We're open for tourism. It's really
good. They have a lot of tourists. Yeah.
Now, just on a personal note, I like the guy. He's a great. He won an international Emmy for the, remember the Holloway case, the Aruba, the girl who disappeared. Justine Holloway. That's not her name. Natalie Holloway.
Was it? Could be.
Yeah. No. He won an Emmy for that. He was an early on. He did a lot of investigative.
Did they kill him? Would they shot him in the head?
He's still alive, apparently, but is not doing well. He also helped uncover the kidnappers from the 1983 Freddie Heineken kidnapping. Some of that also didn't end well for other members of the family. So the guy's been around. He's made a lot of enemies. So it's just, it's just that you can get someone killed in Holland now. I think most would say 5,000 euros. I think 500, you can get someone killed. That's what the country's become. But they wouldn't, no one acknowledges that. It's just one big crime country. I hate to say it. But with that happy news, I'd like to thank you for your courage and say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the COVID exomes, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John C. DeBoris.
Well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. Also, in the morning to all the boots on the ground, feeding the subs and the wardians that have been and the dames and knights out there.
And in the morning to all our trolls in the troll room. We like to count them every single time we do a show. Come on, hands up, everybody. There you go. We have 1,725 trolls in the troll room. That is a little low, but only by 25, I think, for Thursday, correct? Thursdays are 1,800 day. That's what we're striving for.
Yeah, 1,800 is our target.
Well, the trolls are all standing at attention under their bridge there. It's the troll room. You can reach it at trollroom.io. At the same time, keep your speakers down just a tad. At the same time, you can also listen to the live streams before every single No Agenda show. Darren O'Neill does the rock and roll pre-show, which is dynamite, really gets everybody in the mood. But Nick the Rack goes live. I think, doesn't DH Unplugged also go live on the stream? We have your own. Yeah, I think it's on the same stream.
I think we have our own stream.
Oh, I thought it was simulcast. Look at us. We got multiple streams. Right, we're big, man. We are a real professional outfit here. Trollroom.io is where you can go hang out. You can troll along. You can talk to other trolls, comment on the programming. It's a good place to be. That thing has been around almost as long as the show has been around. We thank Void Zero for that. And thanks to everyone who is following me on noagendasocial.com. I talked about Mastodon with Joe, and they brought it up on screen and we're scrolling around like, wow, I didn't know this existed. So yeah, it's a federated.
The news correspondent can help keep people up.
I should come in with a helmet and with hand grenades on my belt and like, Joe, I'm just in from the front, man. They've got a new thing. It's like Twitter, but no one owns it. I got a lot of, because I said, follow me at noagendasocial.com, adam@noagendasocial.com, or johncdvorak@noagendasocial.com. And a lot of people are following. So that's good. And now I see it. And, there's a little, it's a little less of an echo chamber all of a sudden. It's quite fun to see that. And we would like to thank the artist who brought us the artwork for episode 1361. We titled that one, seer appropriately, The Variant Factories. And this was Nessworks, who came in with just a dynamite piece. We're a sucker for putting up artwork that is relevant to the day. So this was 4th of July. We were working into Independence Day. And it was the, what do you call her? Is that Rosie the Riveter?
Rosie the Riveter.
Rosie the Riveter. with a John and Adam heart tattoo. And I noticed we broke a cardinal rule on this artwork. Cardinal rule.
Mm-hmm.
The artwork has the episode number on it.
Well, yeah, but it was the episode number. So
I know.
We've done it. It's not a cardinal rule because we must have done it at least a dozen times.
Well, all of our rules are breakable, but I'm just trying to spice up the combo, baby.
Oh, yeah. Well,
there were some other good ones. In fact, there were a lot of good ones.
Oh, no, there was at least 10 pieces we could have used.
Let me
at
see.
Least 10.
There was the 5,000 days of podcasting, which is pretty good, and the Economist and style of the Economist. A lot of spreading ivermectin on a cracker.
Cute. Yeah.
Very cute. Was there anything else that we wanted to talk about?
The dripping
about?
Lips.
Yeah, I thought those were good. I used that as the pre-stream. That's from Kenny Ben. What else was there?
There was something
concerned
else.
Concerned pockets. A lot of...
I kind of like the Hoochie Coochie girl that was also...
the That would have been... The vaccine Hoochie girl would have been the artwork. If it weren't Independence Day, I think so.
Yeah, I agree. So. But it was done by the same artist, so.
Yeah,
but he's got a clue about, and something that I've always waited for. Who's our regular? Who does the pre-stream? Darren. Always waited for Darren to kind of hit the home run with the cheesecake.
Right.
and he's never managed to do it. But this guy just kind of does it casually. And
that's Nestworks. Now, is Nestworks new for us?
He's done a lot of work. He's got two pages of art if you go to his page.
All right.
I use him for the newsletter probably 6-7 times in a row recently.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's, according to Darren, this is his first win.
Wow. I thought we had picked him before.
Well, I thought so too, but I can't say that we have.
Well, Darren would know. He does. They keep track of
that. Yeah, Darren, because he's competitive. He's saying, hey, I got beat again. Congratulations.
He's not like that. He's always congratulating the artist. He's really a good guy that way. Now, he may go outside and kick the dog, but you know, we just don't know. We don't know. We thank all of our artists. And again, this artwork is not squandered. It shows up in this very show. In the the cloud chapters, the artwork just rotates through when the topics change. That only works with a modern podcast app, so you can find a lot of those at newpodcastapps.com. And you should try one out today. There's no downside to trying one out. And now let's thank some of the executive and associate executive producers who have come through to support the show with one of the three T's. We got your time, your talent, your treasure. And who do we have to start it off?
Well, first of all, I'm going to read in the three notes that were sent in and were not put in the spreadsheet because of some misunderstanding.
Sounds like the back office had...
there seems to be, you know, I don't want to even get into the details of why this has not worked like it should. But first of all, we got $1,000 from Sir Andy.
Whoa.
Of the Hickory Flat Protector of Small Horses.
Yeah, and that was not on my list. I did not see that one on my list.
Because I'm holding it in my hand. I'm just saying that this is one of the didn't get through because of the mismatch because we're using Dropbox. yeah.
Could you say that again? Could you say Dropbox for me, please? Just so I can hear the disdain and the disgust of the product.
Dear John and Adam, please accept this small token of my bottomless appreciation for what you do. It makes a difference and improves lives. I believe this brings me my humble balance of 2,033. If that means anything, I only ask for a few small favors in return as follows. Please add me to the birthday list for July 7th.
Oh, hold on. Well, this I need to add. To,
yes, this add is one of the reasons that was add, irked about this.
I had to add that manually. Okay, birthday. I'm sorry, name again?
Sir Andy of the Hickory Flat, Protector of Small Horses.
Yep. And his birthday is on the
July 7th.
July 7th, gotcha. Okay.
A little health and healing karma for my wife as she faces yet another round of surgery follow-up on her second total ankle replacement in a quest to corner the titanium market.
She's probably doing a good job.
I'd like to see how she deals with the metal detector. total ankle replacement. Wow.
Yeah.
That's got to be the worst.
That's massive.
Ugh, I can't imagine. Finally, karma for continued prosperity, as we seem to be single-handedly supporting the American healthcare juggernaut. Getting old isn't easy, boys. Much love and lit, Sir Andy.
You got it, man. Health karma all in the way.
You've got karma.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, let me see. We go to... And do you have more, or do I go to Virginia Watts now?
Go to... No, no. The other ones are coming.
Virginia Watts, 785-98 from Ketchikan, Arkansas. Is that Arkansas? Yes. No. Alaska. AK. What's AK?
Alaska.
Alaska. I knew I was wrong. If you would throw
Arkansas's in a, AR.
Yes, you're right. If you would throw in a penny. Yeah, I got that. This will be my Dame donation. I've been listening since early 2016, so a deducing would be in order.
You've been deduced.
The value for value model is very brave and honest, and I sincerely thank you both for your courage. I got to re-explain that on Rogan, by the way. I shall be dubbed Dame Vox of the Gateway. Ketchikan is considered the gateway to Southeast Alaska, as we are often the first or last port of call on Alaska cruises. Man, I would love to go there. One of those, that's the only cruise I think that we would do.
I'm in agreement with you. That cruise through the mountains or through the whatever it goes is supposed to be unbelievable.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. Jingle me this, please, Heavenly Farts. Don't eat me, Bo Jiden. We must and we much. That's, I think, resist and wrap it up with amen, fist bump. I'd like grilled cheese with pickles at the round table to honor my smoking hot husband who sponsored my damehood, even though he technically remains a douchebag. You can't over-glorify a love like that. Now, I heard Adam say, oh, here we go. He would like to attend a meetup here in Ketchikan. If you really mean it, Adam, use the contact info below. We will set a date, and there will be a ticket for you at the airport. and a suitcase to carry? The fish will be hitting hard until about September. If you'd like a world-class sportsman adventure, let's make some dreams come true. Huh. They must have a whole thing going on up there. Love is lit, and so am I, Virginia Lee Watts, a.k.a. Troll Vox, soon to be Dame Vox. Hmm. Holy crap. Well, John, maybe we should both go. Maybe we should just do a couple shows from up there.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
I think it would be worth it. All right, let me see. I've got a couple of jingles here for you. What was the last one you wanted? Amen, fist bump. Okay, here we go. And karma coming up.
Before we begin, let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Farts.
Don't eat me, Bo Jiden. You're scary. So scary.
But resist, we much. We must and we will much about that be committed.
Amen, fist bump. You've got karma.
Tony Cabrera's next, 590-48. ITM, John and Adam. No Agenda Shop is back with our latest donation.
Yes.
This is a No Agenda Shop donation. More is on the way in weeks to come, as always.
Nice.
I'm keeping it short and sweet because it's almost midnight. No time left to think. So I'll settle for no jingles, no karma this time. That's nice.
All right.
Sir Sander Hochsbergen in Zaandam.
Very good.
Netherlands, $500. Crime center, world crime center.
crime country.
crime country. Happy 5,000 day no agenda. You're Sir Sander from Zaandam.
Thank you very much. Sir Sander Hochsbergen.
Sir Michael Minton, 49471. Title change?
Yes.
Dylan version, please. If you can remember that.
Yeah, I'll try to remember that. Yeah.
He has to remember it. Mm-hmm. To Earl Mittens of a World Distant.
Beautiful.
Accounting, you say. Pentagon audit. First the Pentagon audit, then trust that the appropriate darker than gray projects were funded in old school fact and jingle to affirm that y'all are the best podcast in the universe. I'm not, that sounded like code to me.
Here's that jingle.
Fact.
I'd forgotten about it. It's a good one.
Oh.
We need to use that more often.
Fact. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Remember it. All right, you can take.
Mary Ellen Nolfo from Prineville, Oregon, 38245. For the past several years, I've donated on this day to commemorate my likely survival of brain aneurysm on July 18th, 2017. Still with us. This year's contribution of 38245 is particularly special to me for two reasons. One, I've finally reached damehood and can join my brilliant, sweet, loyal husband, Colin the Deaf, Dumb, Blind Knight at the round table. And two, this past May, I had my four-year follow-up CAT scan showing my brain surgeries were successful in treating my injury, and I'll no longer need medical interventions of any kind for my aneurysm moving forward. Based on observation alone, I'd say this is far more than our President Biden can probably say about himself since his brain aneurysm. Okay. So take that, corn pop, she says. In past years, I described how this show helped me stay sharp and recovered from brain injury during a two-month-long hospital stay. Yes, I remember the notes. It helped me stave off the stress of an amygdala-hijacked world, and this year was no exception. I can't fathom what life might have been like over the past 16 or so months had I not had access to the genuine analysis of current events that you, John, and the rest of this community offer week after week. I feel particularly proud today to be a part of a community that actively lifts its people up and out of the darkness brought on by the lies in the media and the and empowers them with truth, or at least not the lies. I don't think any amount of money could ever repay the show for that immeasurable benefit, but I hope my damehood today is a start. Finally, it's imperative I call out two of my best friends, Eric Brauman,
douchebag,
and my favorite Aunt Lisa as douchebags.
Douchebag.
I know for a fact these two have been listening to the show consistently for several months on end, but have not donated. Douche them. So done. I'd like to be titled Dame Mariella of the Anterior Communicating Artery in honor of the healed blood vessel that exploded my aneurysm, and it would be great to have watermelon bubbly at the round table. And I just noticed that all of my round table orders somehow didn't go through, so I have to copy those each time I come across one. Please play jingles in this order. I'd like the bong hit sound effect, followed by a Fauci wheeze, followed by, wow, I'm really high. Do we have that one? Yeah, we have that one. Followed by the screaming French bulldog Karma with the gong in the background. Sincerely, Dame Mariella.
Wow, I am really high.
There it is.
Karma.
Onward with Zander Limburg and Paterswold.
Okay, let's do that again. Zander Limberg.
Zander
Limberg.
Limberg.
In Paterswolde.
Paterswolde.
Yeah, I nailed it.
When I didn't get the Volda. I got the Vold, but not the Volda. French influence, I guess. 33333. You know, he's in the crime state of the Netherlands. First of all, thank you for keeping me sane in these insane times. Inspired by No Agenda Meetup last Sunday in Riege, Friesland.
Yeah, this was the big meetup. They had 43 people stay the weekend at this hotel.
No way.
Yes. And they had
Gizmo Nation Lowlands with over 40 people attending. I realized again how much value we get from your awesome show and decided to advance to my knighthood before the autumn of this year. To keep it short, as John would like it, karma to all listeners and especially to all the mighty fine producers, dames and knights I met during the meetup. Best regards, Zander.
Yeah, we got a...
You've got karma.
We got a full-on report. When we do the meetups.
Baron Stefan of the Fox River Valley is next from Oswego, Illinois. 333.33. And let me get the middle one in here first.
What are you doing? You got one in the middle?
Mm-hmm. A note.
One that slipped through the cracks.
This was 303. I want to read it anyway. This is 303.33. And this is from Sir Spro and Sir Bean Brewer of the South. We would love your honest review of the new hit in the mouth dark roast on the show. Oh, yes, it came in. Yes, I did get this. This
the
beans.
You got the new beans? Is there new?
The new beans.
Oh, God, I haven't gotten them yet.
These are quite good.
Are they a little stronger? I need stronger than the other stuff.
These are stronger. Yes, these are dark roast.
And it's the hit in the mouth beans. I love it.
Yeah, hit in the mouth.
So you've tried it and it's approved?
Yeah, it's nice. It's a good. It's a very good blend. Dear Crackpot and Busk, and it's not too harsh. It's dark roast with all the flavor without the any bitterness.
Yummy.
NoAgendaCoffee.com is booming. This donation is your cut of the recent sales. Yummy. Plus the
bag
sold
of beans. A lot of coffee.
303.33. This is what our customers are saying. Donald Trump writes. Frankly, I can talk in complete sentences, and no one knows sentences like me. Joe Biden says, here's the deal. I'm beginning to remember where I was yesterday. Not a joke. Bill Gates writes, I've cut ties with George Soros, and I'm canceling my plans for global population control. I've also fixed automatic updates on Windows 10. Thanks, No Agenda Coffee. You're welcome, Bill. Our latest coffee is the new hit in the mouth, Dark Roast. It was deliciously dark, nutty, chocolatey flavors. Get our coffee subscriptions and save 15%. As always, 20% of every sale goes to the best podcast in the universe, NoAgendaCoffee.com. Ships fresh every week with a full money-back guarantee. It's the perfect daily dose of caffeine to pair with your daily dose of sanity. That's it. NoAgendaCoffee.com. Okay, I must do a read here.
Yeah.
Please give R2-D2 karma to all the fine producers, and thank you for your courage. Sir Spro and Sir Bean Brewer. Okay.
And you've got plug,
boys.
Karma.
All right. Baron Stephen or Stephen of the Fox River Valley, 33333 Oswego, Illinois. It seems combining jobs and relationship karma canceled each other out. Well, there's that risk. You're asking, you know, you ask for a lot of karma at one time. He continues, as a dude named Ben and manager of dudes, jobs will come without too much trouble. However, in the days of apps and not being a bar guy, dating is few and far between. Besides, a good woman at my side is better than money in the bank. I'm at the point where my kids are nagging me because I don't have anyone, and they're teens, so it's particularly annoying. Hit me with the best relationship karma you can give me. A keeper of my own has been so hard to find. Well, I think that calls for the goat.
You've got... karma.
Gotta have the go. I'll do this one too. Matthew Rosen from North Gate, and that's in Queensland, Australia, in the morning from Brisbane, where Klaus has yet to shut off the grid, referring to Klaus Schwab. After hearing Adam on Rogan last year, I have not missed an episode of No Agenda. You guys help me and my flaming hot fiance stay courageous in the face of the hysterical society and fake pandemic that we find ourselves in. It has been shocking to see the success of the Mockingbird mind control that unfortunately most of our peers have outsourced their critical thinking to. That's essay worthy. I have recognized for many years now that society's addiction to pop culture narrative is a problem, and the mainstream news should be viewed only as propaganda or as advertising. It was the No Agenda show, however, that opened our eyes to the solution. It is the value for value model that is the only way to ensure free and earnest speech. Decentralization is freedom. Alas, my first donation was long overdue, so please de-douche me.
You've been de-douched.
Adam, I have a theory that requires your therapy. Ah, yes, I am a conspiracy therapist. My favorite supporting character of the show is Seronymous of Dogpatch. His name alone always gives me a chuckle, and his notes, good content. His mysteriousness and consistent large donations have made me question whether he is just that, a character created by the show to set the tone and spice up the donation segment? Whoa. Apologies to Seronymous. If you are real, you are just too good to be true. Wow. Yeah, that sounds like something we do in our most recent after show meeting. No, he's very
real. So what do you think Anonymous should say next time?
Yeah, let's do some crazy code. No.
Well, do a little analysis of this.
Please, please.
The reason you can tell that that's something we wouldn't do is because it's actually outside of what we do. First of all, we're not going to start writing notes, which is just for what purpose? When people do write notes by themselves, I have this thing as a writer, and I am a writer. I like to write stuff that is like got my byline on it. I'm not a ghost writer, so that leaves me out of the picture. And Adam's just not going to do it. It's extra work we just simply wouldn't do because we spend so much time doing these, listening to crap and then taking clips and doing the rest. You should know that we are adverse to just
work.
We do work, but putting just extra meaningless work.
Yeah,
believe me.
Exactly.
And you can also tell that it doesn't have the, it has voice. Onimus has some voice. You can hear it.
Yeah.
He's got, and he's a Muslim, and we can't talk about Eid and these celebrities. We don't know any of these details.
That would be pretty good if that was the character we had developed.
Unless one of us was a Muslim, and neither one of us. I can assure you that I'm a lapsed Catholic, and Adam is an atheist, and so there's no way that there's a...
I am not an atheist. That's bullshit.
I just threw it in.
But, oh, okay. Well, in that case, anything for the show, I guess.
But, you know, it's a... No.
So, yes.
It's an interesting idea.
But it's all right.
We're not that good.
Sir Onimus will write in countering you, I'm sure. On another note...
Oh, yes, he might have an actual lecture to give
yes. you. On another note, Matthew continues, a guilty pleasure of mine is anticipating the moment the show title phrase pops up. If that exciting moment has not yet occurred this show, rest assured, I am currently jacked up with anticipation. Nice. Anyways, you guys are the best. Keep up the good work. Can I please have a good helping of birthing person karma for Linz and our firstborn due September? Yes, make sure you name him or her Adam or John.
You've got karma.
Middle name is mine. This one you can read because it's too long for my spreadsheet.
Yes, this is from Mike Salmon. From
Mike Salmon, who's also as a novelist.
I don't know. Is he from Holderness?
No, he must be, because look at his...
Oh, he is in the... Well, there's something else Mike has done which we need to discuss. But $333 in the morning. Thank you for keeping my amygdala small. I'm writing today to shamelessly plug our newly remodeled bed and breakfast in New Hampshire. My smoking hot wife and I bought the Inn on Golden Pond. Huh. And he writes it three times because, you know, that's how advertising works. You say it three times.
Yeah. So he said, in on Golden Pond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in December and spent the last 6 months completely remodeling the inside, giving it a modern touch and feel, but kept it quaint and homey. Enjoy king beds, private baths, 42 flats.
Oh, 42 inch what flats. Is today?
Yeah. It's like advertising day. Do the beds vibrate? Apple TV in your room, or explore the 7-plus-acre property by hiking our numerous trails in the woods. You are shameless. Join us by the campfire each night for s'mores and non-triggering conversation. Okay, that actually sounds fun.
S'mores.
Yeah. No, the non-triggering conversation. We are just 5 minutes walk to a private beach. Oops, lost it. Beach where we have kayaks and stand-up paddle boards waiting for you.
Oh, those kayaks and stand-up. Hey, I got to tell you. Two Jews walked into a bar.
Wow, Rogan told the same joke. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
That's crazy. Rogan said two Jews walked in the bar, and the punchline is they bought it. I had never heard that joke. It was like, wow, that's kind of racist.
Bigot. No, it's not.
It's anti-Semitic.
None of these jokes. No, there's no such thing as a Jewish joke that's anti-Semitic.
Got it. Breakfast is made fresh to order every day. Choose from our menu. Oh, come on. I'm not going to read the whole menu. So here's the thing.
He's got a whole menu here.
Yeah,
got some jingles, though.
Yeah, well, the problem is the jingles is just as annoying. He says, please don't read my jingle first, going for shock value. But the problem is there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and a lot of them are doubled. And
oh, no, you can't do these many jingles. We got to put a stop to this.
But I'm going to read it to you, and then you get an idea of what this bed and breakfast is about. Jingles. Trump aroused. Kamala don't come. Trump, I'm going to come. Kamala don't come. Biden whole load. Kamala don't come. Fauci wheeze. Fauci wheeze again. Obama, you're going to die. Is this like a sex bed and breakfast?
I don't know. It sounds like it sounds like.
It's hard to get it aroused, and it is hard to get it aroused, but we got it aroused.
Do not come.
I'm going to come.
I'm going to give you the whole load today.
You might not.
Oh, my God.
You've got karma.
Okay. In on Golden Pond, everybody. Make sure you sign the guest book. Jeez. I do not encourage this kind of donation. To be honest, no. That's basically an ad. I don't like that.
We have to stop that.
It's not cool.
Now, if you give us a piece of the action,
then you're talking exactly. Yeah, didn't you hear the coffee guys? Didn't you hear the No Agenda?
The coffee
hear
guys,
the
they, you know, it's a little more.
Didn't
like
you
it.
Hear No Agenda Shop? Exactly.
Casey Van Heel, 333, sent note to jay@dvorak.org. Huh. Why don't you read the next couple and I will go look for the, if there's a note. I would assume that if it came in with the subject line donation, it would have been forwarded to Eric.
Yes. Shamanic Ape 333 from Kingsford, Michigan. Love you guys. We are on tour across the U.S. summer promoting our new comic book. Please check out carniverse.com with a Y. Carniverse.com. Thanks, Shamanic Ape. All right. Princess JJ Lou in Lakewood, Colorado, 333. In the morning, it's been over a year since my last Rogan donation when Adam first appeared on JRE. I've been listening to you guys ever since, so please de-douche.
You've been de-douched.
Hey, Adam, good job on your most recent Rogan appearance as well. I'm glad you guys didn't get wasted this time. Boots on the ground report from the Denver metro area. I have a friend who developed COVID symptoms, tested positive, got a prescription for ivermectin. His local King's Supers pharmacy, owned by Kroger, would not fill it, saying it wasn't approved for this use. Wow. How about that?
What?
Yeah.
Well, there's off-label uses for everything.
That's the control, baby. That is the control.
That is bull crap.
If Kroger hands out the ivermectin, they won't get the additional fentanyl pills to sell or the oxy. You see, that's kind of a give and take. If you want to be in the drug business, you got to play with the dealers.
You've got karma.
Well, I looked for Casey and I looked for Heal. I did a search, but then I'm looking at his thing. He says, note sent to jay@dvorack.org, which is not my name.
You know,
so
people can also just send it to notes@noagendashow.net. I mean, that's another idea.
You can do that, or you can do put the note in the donation hole there as gets it when you do PayPal. This is PayPal. All right. Princess.
No, I just did her.
Anonymous. Oh, I'm sorry. Anonymous in Boston, Massachusetts. Before we do that, I got one last note to read. A real one, because you'll get a kick out of this one. I was hoping that these got through because you would have liked to read this one. This is from our buddy Donald Borowski, WA60MI, OMI, Sir Donald, the Fire Bottles, quarter of Eastern Washington State. I enclose a double 12345 contribution 246.90. Please direct my donation to the John C. Dvorak Amateur Raider Radio License Renewal Fund. No jingles, no karma.
Are you going to use it for such?
It's split.
Too funny.
Anonymous, 280 in Boston, Massachusetts. I recently supported a SPAC. A SPAC white paper, 250 listed SPACs from 2018 to 2021 for my firm. I believe things are developing with the SEC intervention/adaption to allow SPACs to become more typical, a more typical vehicle for public listing. Any input from John? Well, I think you're probably right. Can you please send me the list?
Yeah. John's like, I want to invest.
You send me a note, John at Dvorak, D-V-O-R-A-K, .org. And I wanted, because I think there's some SPAC opportunities that are, because when these things take off, I mean, it's you're talking about 1 week 10 bagger. It's like ludicrous investment. So yes,
10 bagger, like $10,000.
10 bagger means 10x.
Wow. Exit strategy. Bring on the SPACs.
Yeah.
Baronet Sir Rogue of the Taverns, 257-21, from Victoria in British Columbia. And he's got a jingles here. Shut up already, it's science. How can they just lie like that? Shut up, slave. Goat karma for everyone. Please put me on the birthday list for July 7th for completing my 57th trip around the sun. Hello, John and Adam. From Baronet Sir Rogue of the Taverns, greeting from Victoria, British Columbia. At this moment's rate of exchange, this is a donation of 257.21 Canadian dollarettes or 205.59 in greenbacks. So, yes, associate executive producer. It has been one hell of a year, but up here in BC, we passed the magic day of July 1, Canada Day, and very quietly they, the government, removed all mask mandates and canceled our state of emergency. Holy shit, John, something is happening. So we have it in the US, we have it in the UK, and now very quietly it happens in British Columbia. Something's up. Almost nothing in the M5M about it. Since the change, I have thoroughly enjoyed going into stores and other places with no mask on, although it seems anywhere from 5% to 95% of the people are still wearing them depending on the store and if they are inside or outside. I do get some strange looks, but no one is screaming at me to wear a mask anymore. We're such good slaves here in Scandinavia. I have a stall at the Honeymoon Bay Farmers Market. It was great last weekend to see 98% of the people without masks. And for all the producers on Vancouver Island, come visit me at the Rogue's Tavern stall at the Honeymoon Bay Market, Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., just a short drive past Lake Cowichan. Cowichan? Cowichan, maybe. Cowichan, Cowichan. The market has lots of great crafts, fresh produce, and more. Thanks for everything you two have done this past 18 months to shrink amygdalas and keep sanity in the world. Can I get some health karma for a friend of mine who's having some challenging times? Thank you, Baronet Sir Rogue of the Taverns. And yes, I've got your jingles.
Shut up already. It's science.
How can they lie like that?
Shut up, slave.
You've got karma.
That has to be Cowichan.
I think
Joachim Englund in Borlang, Sweden, 250. My first donation on my way to knighthood. Please deduce me, since I have been an avid listener for over 2 years.
You've been deduced.
My amygdala is pretty much non-existent, thanks to you. Jingles, anything with Al Sharpton, he always cracks me up.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Sir Pate, $234.56. He's from the crime-ridden country of Holland.
I love it. I'm all in.
This is all
keep it going. Keep it going.
ITM, Jen Sir Pate here. Here's some encouragement on the topics of late. I've enjoyed myself furiously. He's enjoying himself furiously. You know what that brings, the image to that? I don't know. Yes, he enjoys himself furiously. On your talks about the social self-radicalization of young people, no agenda 1360 around the 210 mark. It's not just kids. Thank you for your courage. No jingles, no karma.
We need more reports from our millennial producers. More reports. We love hearing from you. Love, love, love it. Sir Niels den Olie Scheik of the great Burgundic state of Brabant, Breda, the Netherlands, 224-24. That must be significant. Ah, yes. This is on behalf, I think, of the Lowlands meetup. We have a meetup report, which I'm going to play at the meetup segment. It's a two-minute meetup report. It's good, but it doesn't belong in the donation segment. But he says, this note needs to be combined with a donation from Sir Niels den Olie Scheik for 224.24 that was gifted by the No Agenda Lowlands family for Femke's hard work organizing the Amazeballs weekend we had with 43 producers in Friesland. A fantastic time was had by all. Great food on the barbecue after a patriotic boat ride, and Sir Niels even set up a shooting range. Wow.
Ooh, fun.
Future meetups were immediately planned, and there was even talk of founding the Church of No Agenda and the COVIDians. I am no longer an atheist. But that could also just be the alcohol and substances-induced midnight poetry that came out of the liberated douchebags after a traumatizing year of lockdowns. With this amount, Femke will have reached damehood, and her title shall be Dame Bem Bem, the special number one recruiter of the lowlands. At the round table, Femke would like to see foie gras, that is a no agenda favorite, with raisin bread and lamb chops with rosemary. Jingles, TTP, Job's karma, little girl, yay, R2-D2. Lerv and loot, stay slave. Sir Stinkfinger, we thank you very much for your courage.
Yeah!
Jobs. You've got karma.
Jobs. So how do you pronounce this as ba? Pronounced like in boss or boss in Dutch.
Ba. So it's ba.
That's what I was going to say. Ba.
Ba from Kerkula. Kerkula. Oh, it's a tough one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
217.10, and he's in Canada. Now, he said 217.10. I don't think that takes him to $300.
No.
He said two. Okay, never worry. He was down in some low number, and yes, it came up to 217.
Yes, exactly.
After listening for years, I secretly gained even more value from No Agenda through NAS, No Agenda Social. I'm loving all the memes and the real people there. With my first meetup coming up, I don't want to be that douchebag, so please de-douche me.
We got you covered.
And tell everyone
douched
to come celebrate on 7/14/21 in Victoria, BC. Right, is it open? I need some home building karma. So
yes, didn't you just hear that?
Yeah, I heard it. But is it? Can we come across the border?
Well, no, we got a parachute in.
Yeah, forget it. I need some home building karma. So could you please play these jingles for me? One, build a wall, little girl, yay, goat karma. Thank you both for all you do. Bob Bad on NAS.
At
Bob Bad.
Oops, sorry.
At Bob Bad.
Yep. Let me do that one again for you.
Build a wall. Yay!
You've got
build a wall
karma.
Then we have Jeff Alicia. 233 cents. Hey guys, it's my birthday, July 9th, so I figured I'd make a donation to celebrate. Can I get a birthday shout out? Oh, and this donation brings me to knighthood. See you counting below. Please knight me Sir Jeff of the PA Route 33, that's the highway in these parts, for the round table, like the local delicacy of shoe fly pie and birch beer. Are you familiar with this particular pie?
Yes, I've heard about it. I can't remember what's in it, though. Mm. Yeah, it's a famous pie, and birch beer, of course, is very common up in the Pacific Northwest.
That has been ordered, and he also wants the 33 is the magic number, and Rebelizer, he means, with an R2-D2 karma, of course.
33, that's the magic number. It's the magic number.
India, Tango, Mike. Stand by. 33, 33, 33. Rebelizer out.
You've got karma.
Aha, another Dutchman, Sebastian Kujman. In Amsterdam, $200.21. And
Koyman. Koyman.
And he is in the slave state of the Holland.
No, not the slave state.
That's right. Crime-ridden Holland.
Crime-ridden Holland. Yes, there you go.
Crime-ridden.
Better.
When I heard that Edom is going to do another... You're Edom?
Okay, so this is one of the reasons I hated my name growing up. I moved to Holland when I was 7. And already at the time, everyone was John or Mike... Or David. No, I got Adam. So, and of course, I was a gawky, awkward kid. And I was like, hey, where's Eve? And as a 7-year-old kid, it's traumatizing. Then I moved to the Netherlands. And they said, what's your name? Adam Curry. Adam. I said, no, it's Adam. Adam. And that has been my life.
Your name is Adam?
Adam Curry.
Okay. Yep. Now that I heard that Edom was going to do another JRE, I knew that I had to make it my first and long overdue donation quickly before the second generation of Roganites start making their donations.
Rogan donation.
This would actually be the third generation.
You know, it's funny. I told Joe at some point in the show, I said the people who come over from the Joe Rogan show are so high quality. I said, we call them Roganites. He says, really? So yeah, we even have a jingle for them when they donate. And in hindsight, I think he might have gone like, are these fuckers making money off of me? I had that brief.
We talked about this long before you did this. Yes.
Yeah.
It was advised not to do what you did.
Yeah. Okay. Was I dumb?
Well, we'll see how many more times you get on.
He doesn't care, really. He doesn't care about much, I don't think.
Yeah, he's he's got millions. Millions! But again, a lot of people, I don't know. I should have all the money. It's like China. Doing these reports. These people would like Hollywood. I talked about this on DH Unplugged, too. We talked about it on this show. You know, the Hollywood people, they do a deal with China, think they're going to make out. They get nothing.
Right. China takes their lunch.
Yeah, China takes it all.
So in this case, we're China?
No, Rogan is. He's getting he's got all the money.
Okay.
I remember during Adam's first appearance on Rogan, this guy ticks all the boxes of someone who's into Bitcoin. Oh, that's why. So he's a Bitcoin guy. And lo and behold, a few moments later, my hunch was confirmed. It triggered my curiosity and I decided to give the podcast a shot. I got hooked by the media deconstruction. The show is a great source of relief during the COVID insanity. However, since life was on a work, eat, sleep, and repeat cycle because of the lockdown, I felt that I had the need for social interaction. Grew by the day. Now, luckily, I had someone to look forward to, something to look forward to, and that something was the No Agenda GN Lowlands business meeting that we had last weekend, another one. It was way too easy, too long ago since I had such a good time with too many awesome people. It wasn't just like a party. It was a party.
Nice.
Karma to the organizers and all those great people that were there. Side note, when I drove to the meetup, I heard an item on the radio about a guy that was planning a surgery to remove his amygdala for the purpose of not being controlled by irrational fear anymore.
An amygdalectomy? Is that possible?
That would be the term.
Wow. But you could also
just... need one if you listen to this show.
There you go. There you go.
You've got karma.
I'll get this when you get the last one. Cunkleberry. Sir Cunkleberry of Brookhaven, Georgia, Atlanta. $200.01. ITM, NJK, NJNK. Thank you for your courage, gents. After picking two duplicate knight names over the past year, I've switched to something more bespoke. Sir Cunkleberry of Brookhaven, Georgia. Okay.
Nice.
You got it.
No jingles, no karma. Right. Emma Pilgrim rounds us out. Final associate executive producer, $200 in the morning from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh on the wireless, everybody. After 2 years of chipping in, I finally made it to damehood. Nice. Please crown me Dame Orchid Thief, and put me in for an order of bacon wrap filet mignon, Takis, and Diet Coke at the round table. Hey, the heart wants what it wants, she says. Words truly can't...
She's got little emojis of the things.
Yeah. The things. Words...
the things, no joke.
Words truly can't express how much No Agenda means to me. I grew up in America Can Do No Wrong household, foam finger number one, baby, and was still holding on to that bit too tightly years into marriage to my sizzling hot main squeeze, Sir Andrew of the Unapologetic Pale Males. He hit me in the mouth 5 years ago, right around the time our second kid was due. I first listened to the show while hopped up on an epidural. Oh, yeah, baby. That's the way to go. Whatever works, though. I was hooked. Thanks, babe. The show has helped me round out my viewpoints. I still love the USA, but I'm learning to be honest about her faults and think more critically about politics and current events all around. Over the past 2 years, I've organized several meetups in our area that has brought friends who are truly like family into our lives. You know who you are, and we really do love you so much. Heart emoji. I'd appreciate some goat karma for a second year of homeschooling our 4 human resources. Good for you. As well as Nothing Like a Dame, the jingle, and a dealer's choice of Reverend Al, if you're feeling generous. Love and loot, Dame Orchid Thief.
There is nothing like a dame. Give more nation will acclaim. There ain't any
ESPICT.
You've got karma.
And those are our executive and associate executive producers for show 1362.
Yes.
Want to thank each and every one of them.
Thank you all so much for producing
the show. For the notes, too.
Yes, the notes were good. I mean, except for the aberrant.
There were two notes that were too long and one note that was too promotional.
And we don't do 18 jingles, and we're not in the business of editing and mixing them together. Think of your other producers, damn it. That's what you got to think about. But you all thought about the show, and we really appreciate what you've done once again, pulling us through, and we look forward to thanking more in our final segment, as well as the meetups. Again, a great meetup report from the Lowlands. This is a value for value show, so we don't get any corporate money. There are no ads that are scheduled and come in. It's only from people who have things that they're doing themselves, which is okay by us. And really people who are just thankful for the entire producer community, which includes the Troll Room. It includes No Agenda Social. It includes Bingit.io. There are so many things that are surrounding this program that are all the No Agenda Art Generate. I could go on forever, but I won't. You should try it for yourself. Just make the donation amount meaningful to you. That's what it's all about. Go to
Dvorak.org/NA.
And thank you again for your time, your talent, and your treasure for producing episode 1362.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Order. Order.
Shut up, Slay.
Shut up, Slay.
I have a few things. I got a couple more COVID things that are, but from Canada.
Seriously?
Just we had some Canada stuff.
It's got to be good, man. We still doing COVID?
It's about the booster in Canada.
The boost. Okay.
And they are, they have no reason to want the booster. Nobody wants the booster. The booster is just something of a scam, but they keep talking about it. I'd like to know what they're up to. I think this, again, guided. Canadians are worse than us when it comes to the media being guided. The National's where I got these from. And I will mention, the National has become, it's like when they lost this guy, Peter Mansfield, I think of who it was, the guy who used to be the anchor there. And I'm now convinced that the National has gone the way of PBS NewsHour once they lost the Gwen.
Oh, right. That's bad. That's bad.
They lost some sort of a rudder. And the National has turned into just a lousy newscast. and I all these clips are mostly, they point out what it's mostly clips. This is less clips about COVID and more clips about media. What are they leaving out of these stories? Play this one, and then I'll go back to it and tell you what's wrong with it.
COVID. Almost 26 million Canadians have now been vaccinated against COVID-19. That's nearly 80% of eligible Canadians with one dose and more than 40% fully vaccinated with two doses. But now we're starting to hear about a third dose, a booster shot. Health reporter Vic Adopia tells us who might need it and why.
Canada is getting COVID-19 under control. New cases have fallen dramatically as most Canadians have now been vaccinated with at least one dose.
In the light of the fact that we're probably going to get in Canada more and more of this Delta variant, I think it's reasonable to start thinking that we're going to need also a booster or a third dose.
So do health officials in the UK, where they're starting in September with the most vulnerable, seniors and immunocompromised people. Still, one vaccine maker says it's too soon to know if everyone will need a third shot.
It is a question of not just how long does the durability of the vaccine offer protection, but we look for things like breakthrough infections and when does the vaccine start to fail, and when it failed, what happened?
Indeed, fully vaccinated people are still getting infected, at least 2,700 of them, according to the latest national figures for most of Canada, and 66 died. That's less than 1% of the fully vaccinated population.
I'm feeling quite fragile.
Janet Lang has a rare form of cancer and worries she could be in that less than 1% if policymakers wait too long for real-world data on the need for boosters.
Let's give it a shot and then come up with a possible timetable, come up with some safety measures.
But rushing ahead with a third round of shots here has global consequences.
Do you think people are starting to see worldwide that we've gone insane? Like this
well,
lady.
Let's look at that. I'm going to go over this guy's report. First of all, he says we're starting to hear.
Right.
That's where it starts off. We're starting to hear the need. We need a booster. We're starting to hear from who?
Right.
Does he say no? New cases have fallen. Fallen to what? He never says. They've just fallen. So that's like weak.
Yeah.
Then he says one vaccine maker says. Which vaccine maker? There's only four or five of them.
Which one? Yeah.
Which one? Tell us which one. He doesn't say. Then he goes on with the, 2,766 less. And then he says, when did these vaccines fail? What's the durability? And it's just all vague. And then at the end of this part of the clip, he says, what Canada does is going to have global consequences about the booster.
Why?
You tell me. They're not telling me. The reporting on the national is this. It's incredibly hollow. They don't tell you anything.
Sounds like
propaganda.
They just
throw vagaries at you.
It doesn't even sound like reporting. It just sounds like propaganda from the government.
It doesn't. It's lousy propaganda, even.
It's not even good propaganda.
Let's go to the second half of this clip.
But rushing ahead with a third round of shots here has global consequences.
Ooh. If you give those third doses here, it means that you're not giving there. Elsewhere, worldwide. And at this point in time, what is absolutely needed is for the entire planet to be vaccinated.
Even though there is no plan yet for booster shots in Canada, the federal government says it's already secured vaccines for the next 3 years.
Vaccine equity, baby. Everyone needs to have this.
It's just a head shaker. I'm going to continue with this kind of complaining. For two more quick clips.
All right.
It continues. This is by all the same report, by the way. It goes on with where they get into the Argentina. And there's a big hole in this report. Listen to COVID Canada Argentina.
As we just heard, and health experts have long been warning, the pandemic will continue to be a threat to everyone until people around the world are vaccinated. And as optimistic as people in this country are starting to feel right now, 75% of the world's population is still waiting for that first dose. Tonight, we want to revisit a story that first aired last month about the desperate situation in some poorer countries where even a first vaccine dose is out of reach for so many.
Begging for vaccines in Caracas with no idea of who is listening. Family members collecting the dead themselves with no idea of who's actually counting those lost.
What?
Infectious diseases specialist Dr. Julio Castro says his fellow Venezuelans feel alone now, unable to trust either the numbers or the plan.
So we are doing a kind of unofficial surveillance system, which taking count 40 of the bigger hospitals in Venezuela, and the numbers are quite different from the official numbers.
Okay.
They leave it. That
what there's nothing now no it's different. Okay, and thanks for that report, Bob.
So they say the numbers are different than the official numbers. They don't say are they higher, are they lower,
different,
are they lower, are they higher. Would you think that would make a difference? I mean, to your analysis, if you're going to say, well, the numbers are different than the official numbers, are they higher, a lot higher, a little higher? Are they one off? It's like Trump. Oh, Trump said 33. It was 32. Guy's a liar. Right. And Trump says 21 years. He keeps saying that. By the way, there's something up with that because he keeps doing it.
Stop with your whataboutism.
You noticed it.
Yes.
I'm starting to notice it now, too. There's something up
with the 21 years.
Yeah. He's doing it for a reason. There's some code in there. So anyway, so that's how this report goes. And then listen to the next part and find more holes.
Help is not coming fast. Venezuela rejected offers of AstraZeneca vaccines from COVAX. It may get some mRNA vaccines from the group in July. The United States has excluded Venezuela from its vaccination donations for now, citing a lack of transparency about how the country has handled COVID.
Oh, wow. That's your vaccine equity?
Well, here's another thing. It starts off by telling us that they rejected, I guess, free vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they tell? Does the National have any reason to give us an explanation for this refusal? It's never explained in the report. They're bitching and moaning. They go to Argentina for some unknown reason, first of all. And then they're bitching and moaning about Argentinians wanting more vaccines and doing protests, and nobody knows if they're listening or not, and blah, 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 blah. And then they throw in this little bomb. They refused, I guess, a shit ton of AstraZeneca vaccine, and now they're complaining. But what's the reason for the refusal in the first place? I mean, I'm telling you, the National has fallen on bad times. When we first started doing the show, I would go refer to it every once in a while.
Yes, I remember.
Because it was good reporting. They had some good stuff there. They had good news. Now it's garbage. I'm not saying this lightly. It's worse than democracy now.
Oh, and now you're just being rude. I blame Trump. It's all Trump's fault.
Yeah. Anyway, they go on and on. They do have a little tidbit in there that I thought was interesting. Did you know that Canada has more doses of vaccine in the world per person than any country in the world per person?
Yes, because they've purchased for the next 3 years.
And they got enough for the next 3 years. So they've gone nuts up there.
And I'll make you a prediction, a very easy one. This winter, Canada's going to lock down. They're going to try and probably Europe will lock down. Everything except the pockets of concern in the United States will lock down. People are going back to the houses. They're going back to masks. There will be a booster. This is not over. They have not finished up their dirty business. And that will all be perfect because we're going to lose everything in the cyber pandemic. And let me explain. Again, you laugh at me, and that's okay. That's why there's two of us. I take the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab at their word.
And improve our preparedness for a potential cyber pandemic.
I'd just like to review, as we have a lot of dudes named Ben that work for, that mainly do a lot of security, penetration, testing, administration. And this CASEA, we have a couple of boots on the ground reports. I just wanted to explain exactly what happened because we didn't have all the information and we thought, is this coming from the cloud? No. This particular piece of software, CASEA's VSA, is something that you can also just install in your own small company. As we've heard, a lot of doctor's offices use it, individual stores at one of these Swedish co-op, I think it is, the grocery store, so each one use one individually. And they are not cloud-based. What they are, however, is on an automatic update schedule. And that's what happened. So the automatic update included, a zero-day vulnerability. And with that, they then grabbed a hold of the... have it here. Hold on a second. Grabbed a hold of... Here. The API... So they could essentially do anything they wanted. And what you probably haven't heard reported in the news is that this thing created a whole bunch of Windows registry modifications, which is, of course, what you're doing if you're about to lock down someone's computer with ransomware. And it put in new entries that included Black Lives Matter, Trump sucks. I mean, why is that? Why all of a sudden do the ransomware guys need to put in Black Lives Matter into their hack as some kind of tip of the hat? Or are they from Black Lives Matter? Do they support Black Lives Matter? I'd like to know.
Where does this come from?
It's everywhere. It's not on the news, but you can see the screenshots, and I have put several in the show notes. the registry is changed. It changes all, you know, it adds registry entries. And the entry itself, which of course has a key pair to it, you know, whatever the value is, but three or four of them are Black Lives Matter. Now, it could be just to throw us off the track. I don't know. Very strange, and it's not reported. And I think
there's nothing the Russians would do.
No, exactly. Exactly. But
tonight, President Biden hints that he will be sending a message to Vladimir Putin after a ransomware attack believed to be of Russian origin. Up to 1,500 companies worldwide were hit, including hundreds in the U.S. by a group that's demanding $70 million in Bitcoin. The president gave no details on how he will respond.
That number, I think, is probably the insurance amount. But what's interesting is each individual office can pay a ransom of anywhere from $5,000 to $45,000 in Bitcoin and have their individual setup unlocked. Or the company itself gets one master key to unlock all of them for $70 million in Bitcoin, which is, they probably have that in insurance, so that'll likely happen. And it's also tax deductible. As we've learned, the government has said that's okay. You can just call the business expense. Go ahead and pay it.
Well, it's a loss. It's a loss. You can take it off your taxes.
So the scary thing is, this is coming through automated updates. And if you look at how many pieces of software an individual may be running, which, by the way, the Windows update also does peer-to-peer. Can you imagine? And we've talked about this several times in the past 14 years. Can you imagine if something gets into the Microsoft Windows update and some bunch of jamokes is able to lock it all down in one go?
And that'd then, be unbelievable.
And then they gave Microsoft, well, we have the master key for $10 trillion in Bitcoin. This is, sadly, exactly the scenario that was described for the World Economic Forum's Cyber Polygon, which is a unique cybersecurity event. It takes place, I think, next week. I had it in my calendar to check out the webcast. It combines the world's largest technical training exercise for corporate teams in an online conference featuring senior officials from international organizations and leading corporations. The 2021 conference discusses the key risk of digitalization and best practice for the secure development of digital ecosystems. The 2021 technical exercise, event 201, the 2021 exercise builds and tests the skills needed to protect our industries, centering on a targeted supply chain attack. That is what this is. This is classified as a supply chain attack on the software. And they have a promo video.
2020 is a year that has really changed the world. It is thanks to technology that we are able to join the Cyber Polygon entirely remotely. This training is another step in creating a trusted digital environment and fostering open dialogue to discuss even the most challenging cybersecurity issues.
Nobody can fight these phenomena, which are only going to increase in the next couple of years, this dynamic technological environment.
This world grows in force, and this happens throughout the world. It's just a statement of the obvious. You need to protect people properly.
Yeah, big finish. Ladies and gentlemen, the Cyber Polygon with Klaus and all of your favorites. Just always interesting when the exercise and the event is scheduled for the exact time something like that happens. I think we should be very worried. Also, those of you who are saying, oh, time to get Linux, Ubuntu, you know, these are also a lot of automatic systems update automatically. You can be taken down with Linux as well. I would actually say Apple probably has the least chance of that happening, but of course, you trade off your security for freedom over there. You just can't do that much that you want to do. To accentuate, that I believe this to be at least known about or perhaps planned in the elite circles, I return to the CNBC interview with Warren Buffett and Charlie Rangel. Now, these guys are corpses. They're sitting down. They're like,
two Jabba the Hutts.
They are. That's exactly what they look like. Yeah, sitting down. Now, listen to what he says about pandemics.
One thing that maybe surprised you most, something you learned the last year?
Well, I learned that people don't know as much as they think they know, but the biggest thing you learn is that a pandemic was bound to occur, and this isn't the worst one that's imaginable at all. Society has a terrible time preparing for things that are remote, that are possible, and will occur sooner or later. There'll be another pandemic. We know that. We know there's a nuclear, chemical, biological, and now cyber threat. And we know, each one of those has terrible possibilities. And we do some things about it, but it's just not something that society seems particularly capable and fully coming to grips with. The cyber threat, we've just started. Look at the damage that's already been done. Charlie and I have been ungodly lucky in many ways, but the luckiest thing was actually being around at this time and place.
So why does he say we've only just begun? I will replay that bit.
Capable and fully coming to grips with. The cyber threat, we've just started.
we've just started. What are you talking about, Warren? What did he just start? Just started realizing that it's a real threat? Or
he started coming to grips.
Okay.
So he said starting to grips, we're just starting. He said we're coming to grips, we just started. He just started coming to grips.
Okay. All right.
And what he meant, from what I would surmise, is what he meant is we're starting to come to grips with what this means for the investment portfolio.
Of course.
What would it mean?
He doesn't give a shit about people or anything like that.
No, why? Yes. Your brain, the point in his life, his brain is so cute. And I actually admire people who get to this, because it's almost like the guys I always like to talk about, how engineers can see things you can't see. Mm-hmm. Or artists. Our artists are the same way. They can visualize things that we couldn't visualize in a million years, and they put it together better than we could ever do, because we don't do that. We can do a podcast as well as anyone.
Yeah.
But so Buffett is thinking, and probably we should all be thinking in these terms, what does it mean? Let's just assume you should do a scenario. We should do it. What happens when all the Windows machines go out at once? The whole world. I mean, this, you're talking about ships at sea, boots on the ground. We're talking about all these stores. We're talking about airlines. I mean, Windows is running the world.
Windows NT runs Eurocopter helicopters. They'll be falling out of the sky.
Well, actually, probably those won't be affected.
You have no idea. I have seen flight engineering crews do updates on software completely in insecure ways on all kinds of things.
Well, I would have to assume that the way they would do this, first of all, it has to go through a Windows update, and it's not going to go to NT, or they don't even, I mean, they have their own contracts, and they're not going to, those machines will probably still work.
Okay, fine.
Windows 7 will probably still work. My little NUC will still work. Your machine will go down. But what they'll do is they have to do an update that's got the embedded code that, for one thing, the updates go out and people start testing it right away. But if it's the way they're doing these, which is the scary part, is they're using the technique used in the virus.
It sits there for 6 months and they just wait.
Yeah, it has no symptoms. It's asymptomatic.
Yes. Now you're talking, Johnny boy.
So they put asymptomatic software out there that is actually coded to be able to be triggered through some IRC chat room, who knows what, and it could be 6 months, it could be a month, it could be whatever, and then boom, they all go out at once, and except for the outliers, which is the small number of outliers. I mean, Windows, people still on Windows 7, people on NT, my little NUC, There's a few that won't get affected. My main machine will.
I have updates completely turned off, and I have the pie hole blocking every single Windows and Microsoft address. This will not update by itself.
I have my updates turned off, and it still updates by itself after a period of time where it gets sick of trying to update. It just turns the machine. I'm telling you, my updates are off. It turns off the machine, and I wake up in the morning, the machine's been rebooted and updated, whether I like it or not.
Wow.
I'd like to know what that's all about.
Hey, is My Little Nook, is that like a My Little Pony?
Yeah. Now, there's one, there's one of our producers sent out, or not, he didn't send it, but he talked about there's a version of Windows that is a meant to be left alone. It's, in other words, it's an industrial version that goes into traffic lights, never gets updated.
Right.
It's just a, it's a, there's,
it
a
also course. Doesn't run Office, I'm sure.
I bet you it does.
Embedded, probably.
It's like an embedded version. That would be nice to get a hold of that.
But this is a real possibility.
This is what's going to happen. What I said is going to happen. I agree with this part. And I've always thought this. Once Windows got the hair up their ass to do these automatic updates to, you know, update Tuesday. What was it called? Patch Tuesday or something?
Yeah, I can't remember. Patch. I mean, maybe that's what it's called. Yeah.
Once they got that idea, it was writing was on the wall.
Also known as Reboot Tuesday.
Reboot Tuesday.
Not during the show, damn it. Circle Back Tuesday. That's another one. Okay, Troll Room, you're all good. Well, it does not bode well. And, you know, just taking into consideration what we've learned about this Bluetooth protocol where all the little, where you're turning chips can turn on remotely into transceivers and create a mesh network, which apparently integrates with Amazon's Sidewalk. Now, who knows what's going on? None of this is good. So in that regard, I agree. We really need to cut back on our dependency. Like, for real. And it's already so, I mean, if that really happened with Windows, I think millions would die. Millions. Don't you think?
Windows is the target for, if you're going to do what they're talking about, somebody's got to know something. Windows is vulnerable to this. Yeah. I think a lot of people would die. Who knows? Even maybe some cars won't work. I don't know what's going on with some of these things.
Yeah.
But buy older cars. Yeah. Not good.
Now, two things happened.
It's actually an essay. I should write it up.
Yeah, it's a good one. Two things happened in, one in the Netherlands, also known as the crime country. The drug state.
I want to see how long it is before we get some complaints from the government.
Hey, I've tried to reach out to them so many times. This is my final way. So while the news was completely covering Peter R. De Vries shot in the face, hopefully he's still alive and he'll make it, they quietly classified COVID as a Schedule A virus on par with Ebola. I thought that was very good, and people are a little upset about that.
Why?
Because it's not like Ebola.
Well, it's, no two diseases are like each other.
But should it
but, be? You know, it's funny like that cocaine, the Johnson vaccine is the is based on the Ebola vaccine, the mechanism.
No, none of this makes me feel good. Now, I'm not sure.
Wait, there's another thing you're overlooking. It's also created in the lab, just like Ebola was.
All right.
And
who are you? Who are you? Joe's going to be like, hey, Curry, you're great, but I want Dvorak. He's much better than you are. I want him on the show. Now, I'm unsure exactly what happened because it's very difficult to wade through the entire EU European Union governmental site to get, you know, like actual information with dates and understand. But I believe that the European Union e-privacy directive was at least temporarily approved for the purpose of fighting online child sex abuse. And I think there's a hashtag for this even, which is, what is it? Chat something or other. Anyway, the idea is that until December 31st of September 2025, every single provider of email, chat, etc., must, through use of artificial intelligence, scan through all of their customers looking for certain keywords that could possibly involve child sexual abuse material or trafficking. So that means that everyone's shit is being read in the European Union, if completely true the way I understand it.
Oh, that's an interesting analysis. Yeah.
No, that's to be. That is the analysis.
Yeah, well, I would think that is going on then.
Possibly.
But they have all these privacy laws. I mean, it's just, it seems to be contradict all these haughty. They're also above it all. You know, oh, our privacy laws are great and America sucks.
Well, they've got, yes. Yes. Yeah, you're right. There was another big announcement in the European Union, and this included an old buddy of ours. Now, we still are bickering here in the United States over the Green New Deal. And this is, you know, I've been trying to reach out to Frans Timmermans, who is the EU Green Deal czar. I know him. I've interviewed him. I've met him a couple times at the airport and chatted, and I keep tweeting him, DMing him. He will not answer. He's afraid. Pussy boy. He's the czar of the Green New Deal in Europe, and he's just afraid to talk to me about it. But it doesn't matter because the Green New Deal is on its way, and one of our buddies is part of it.
The European Green Deal is...
I should say, this is the president of the European Union. This is the Stark Fleet Command. Her name is von der Leyen.
The European Green Deal is our blueprint for Europe to become the first climate-neutral continent by 2050.
And notice how 2030 is gone now. Remember, everything was 2030. Yeah. We even had club2030.com.
Yeah, you were thematically on the 2030 thing.
Yeah.
And it's just dropped off the radar.
No, it's now become 2050.
Yeah, they moved it up 20 years.
Yes, of course, because then they can never be held to account. This old bag ain't going to be in politics.
It strives for systemic change and modernization across our economy, our societies, and industry. Of course, energy transition is at its heart. And this is why I warmly welcome the opportunity to join forces with Breakthrough Energy.
I am excited to announce a new partnership between Breakthrough Energy and the European Commission.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Bill Gates now taking care of your energy and your greenness in Europe on par with the president of the EU.
I've created Breakthrough Energy Catalyst, a first-of-its-kind innovative finance vehicle designed to rapidly commercialize critical climate-smart technologies.
Notice, he's not inventing anything. He's not giving you any kind of technology. He is financing it. Financing it. I'm pissed about this.
To succeed in preventing the climate crisis, the world will need a new approach to building global industries. This is the greatest opportunity for innovation the world has ever seen.
And for my pocketbook.
The Catalyst program is targeting the technologies we need for Europe to become carbon neutral. We want to deploy InvestEU with the European Investment Bank and, I hope, national financial partners. And on top, InvestEU allows member states to mobilize funds. For example, from EU programs like Next Generation EU. In Europe, we're lucky to have a wealth of scientists and innovators leading the way to decarbonization. We just need to help them to bring their ideas to the market.
Europe will be a strong partner because of its early and consistent commitment to climate.
We have to act bold and fast. And together, we can achieve our green goals to the benefit of people and businesses.
I mean, this is, what is it called when government and commercial business completely collude like this?
Corporatism or fascism.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. And they just hacked Bill Gates in there. And I checked again. Did someone else edit this? No, it's on the European Union website. And Bill Gates is sitting there reading a prompter about his finance. So we need Bill Gates to finance the saving of the world. Is that what I'm understanding? That's what it's going to take. He did such a great job with Gavi and the vaccines. Melinda French Gates, you need to speak up. You need to tell the world.
Now, as you say that, I want to point this out. They just started recently, in all the news stories, everybody's using, they're starting to drop. It's not Melinda Gates anymore. No, it's Melinda French Gates.
Yes.
And I have run into an article in AP or somebody who starts off Melinda French Gates, and then it says Melinda French.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, that's what she wants. And here's the article. Melinda French Gates will resign from the Mel and Belinda Gates Foundation if they can't work together at their foundation. Well, that means she's resigning. She's out. And
there's another story that I guess all the new money coming into the Bill and French whatever laundry, all the new money coming in there is going to go to her new one, the new thing she starts. She's starting off the Melinda French, whatever it is.
And she's so qualified.
So here, I don't want to say, we start sounding like Bill Burr.
No, we're not Bill Burr.
Not going to do, I'm not going there.
No, we're not Bill Burr.
Bill Burr. No.
I do have a few climate change clips. This one I thought was really, really interesting. It's from ABC this morning.
This morning, a mysterious illness is killing birds, and experts are now asking humans to help the birds socially distance.
I mean, do you want to hear the rest of the report?
I don't want to. Just shoot this person.
I won't even play the rest of it. You don't need to know anymore.
You don't need any more than that. That's terrible.
All right, let's look at the other supply chain, the real supply chain. We have issues. I was at HEB the other day looking for a shallot.
No shallot. We're giving up on them because they took the MyPillow guy and threw him out.
Well, currently, that's the only game near town. We don't have the luxury of a whole bunch. We have, we're still learning about who sells what, and there's a farmer's market. But, you know, I just went into HEB to get a shallot. No shallots. We have not had shallots for 2 to 3 weeks.
No shallots?
No shallots. I say, what? Is that the day? I do my Chinese thing again. I bet it's the Chinese. The guy says, no, it's lazy asses who don't want to go to work and don't want to pack stuff. If they don't pack it, we can't put it in the shelves. How about that?
This is a problem everywhere.
But shallots. I mean, now it's time to panic.
Well.
No shallots. Here's a CBS Evening News with an interesting report.
And by the way, it's a little hoity-toity. Don't you think shallots? Use an onion.
We did.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Okay. I'll remember
use
that.
An onion.
I'll use an onion. I'll remove that.
Sony's new PlayStation 5 is in such short supply, David Rogers had to pay almost double the retail price to get one.
You think since last Christmas that they'd start to catch up with supply, and it just never happened.
That's because Sony can't get enough computer chips to build all the PlayStations consumers want. Nearly all electronics and home appliances now require chips, from laptops to TVs to smart refrigerators.
It knows. It has cameras.
COVID changes like remote school and work have been driving demand.
I have never seen this kind of demand in my life.
Video and Audio Center chief technologist Tom Campbell is anticipating limited supplies.
Which TVs is it going to impact first?
The entry level, what we call the lowest price TVs.
Without enough computer chips, he says manufacturers will have to make choices.
Are you going to put it in a set that sells for $300? Or are you going to put it in a set that sells for $2,000?
And don't expect a deal on a new car. The average price now tops $40,000. Cars use hundreds of computer chips, and some automakers are even pausing production because of the shortage.
I struggle to see things going back to what they were, you know, for another, I would say, 6 to 9 months.
Tech industry analyst Carolina Milanese says many automakers canceled chip orders when they shut down production last year.
Some chip manufacturers shifted over to making smaller chips for consumer electronics.
And once you adapt your supply chain to something else, it takes a while to go back.
So it's not just the supply chain itself. They canceled orders. They've changed stuff around, made priorities. It's not just the supply chain. People have made some interesting choices. And I think they, too, were caught off guard by the sudden turnaround reopening, perhaps.
This whole thing is very suspect as far as I'm concerned. I'm reminded of, I don't know why, I don't have any proof of this, but I had the same ill feeling that I had during the bogus gray out when we had the governor of California was Gray Davis, and we had the rolling blackouts and all and this and that. It just seems fake. It seems like there's something phony baloney about this. This is a scam at some base level.
Yeah, but something is something, or it's just a whole bunch of scams. Everyone's jumping in on the opportunity to make more money or jack up the price.
Well, we had some reports from different people that, you know, that are involved in shipping, and the guys saying, oh, don't worry about it. Leave the ship out there for a while. We got that, this stupid ship that was stuck in the Suez Canal still embargoed.
No, no, it just set sail. It just
got out. Oh, they did finally?
Yeah. And that one just set sail, and this morning this happens.
Our top story this hour, a fire broke out on a container ship in Dubai's main port following an explosion. Authorities say the fire has been doused.
This is the port of Dubai. This is, you know, this is where we park our aircraft carriers. This is a big port.
To a level where it's under control now, and no casualties have been reported yet. Now, the cause of the blast remains unknown. Residents reported seeing their doors and windows trembling from the shockwave. The container that caught fire was on board a ship that Ajib Lely Airport, and the vessel was preparing to dock with 14 crew on board. Firefighters tackled the blaze on the large vessel stacked with containers, as three of the 130 containers on the ship held flammable materials. The port is capable of handling aircraft carriers and was the U.S. Navy's busiest port off call outside of the United States in 2017.
So we don't know much, clearly. No, from but this
again, now I'm going to go back to my feelings about these things. And I want to tell people to go, especially the newer listeners who didn't catch this first time around a decade ago, track down the 13-episode series Rubicon.
Yeah.
And it's slow. It's a slow moving but very deep and intense story. And you should watch it because it talks about this sort of thing. As being just a scam to, so somebody can inside can be, make the right investment. I mean, there's investment opportunities, and it goes right back to what Buffett was saying. I mean, everything seems to be
an investment, you know, opportunity.
Yes, all investment or short opportunity. Ford said they're going to take a huge beating this year. They're going to shut down some assembly lines because of this computer chip or chip, whatever chip it is they use in the cars. This is really stinks. This stinks.
I'm with you. But it seems like we are one of the few people who even care about analyzing in this manner. You are being disserved by your news organizations. I mean, it's so obvious to connect these dots and say, Now, here's a dot. That'll be my last one. We should take a break. Lazy people. Not wanting to go back to work. You know, I've been talking about the millennials, not the older millennials, but the millennials who are just staying home. They don't want to go anywhere. They feel fine. We've had many of these reports. You know, we're in our early 20s. You know, we're mind controlled by the phone. We really just want to live our best life. We're not planning a family. What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
We're not planning a family. I'm only going to take care of myself. Maybe I'll live with someone else. So just completely apathetic, nihilistic, as you would categorize them.
Which has happened in the past. In the 50s, there was a nihilism issue.
Well, there's something going on in China. Producer sent me this. Now, it's just a minute, and it's a read on a YouTube video, the full video link in the show notes. It's about much more what's going on in China. But the premise is very small percentage of China is really super rich. Which compared to the rest, which is incredibly poor. But the kids, they're checking out.
Limited job opportunities and social resources make the competition for young people in modern China increasingly fierce. But there's a group of young people who think differently. They do not compete, will not get married, will not have a child, and will not buy a house. This is now popular among young people in China, the lying flat doctrine. Lying flat means resisting the variety of socio-cultural demands with a passive attitude actively lowering their desire to maintain the minimum standard of living, not buying a house, not talking about love, not getting married, not having children, not pursuing a promotion. However, the term was immediately blocked by Chinese officials and disappeared from all social media platforms. The reason is that it reveals the serious demographic crisis Beijing is trying to solve. The term originated from an article titled "Lying Flat is Controversial," in which the author Luo Huajiong shared his lying flat life on the internet and resonated with tens of millions of Chinese youths. According to the article, the author Luo has not been in a steady job for more than 2 years. Luo said, "I have spent most of the time enjoying myself and I find nothing wrong with it. Expectations and stress typically came from the traditional ideas of elder family members."
Lying flat life.
How's that spelled?
Lying flat. L-Y-I-N-G flat. It's not, it's two words. Lying flat. The lying flat doctrine. And they're in these massage chairs, you know, like 50 of them, just laying back, not doing much. You know, this shit could spread here through TikTok.
Interesting.
I'm glad you liked it.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda.
And we do have a few people to thank, starting with Charles Bennett, who came in with $133.33. Scott Smith is next, $100, and he is in Noblesville, Indiana. Tommy Barnes in Midland, Texas, $100. Ashlyn Davis, $85. Jennifer Maury. In Toledo, Ohio. This used to be Maury Drive, I think, in Fremont. Might still be there. $78.89. Robert Taylor, $74.21. These are July 4th donations. Eriki. Oh, what is this? This is in Finland. This is Finnish name. Eriki. Juris. I can't. Don't know how to pronounce it.
Juris.
Think?
Mm-hmm.
Happy ID to you and all the American producers from Mark Pugner. Eriki's a guy. Ari Adler in Punta Gorda, $74.21. Willem Verhaar in Nieuwegein in the crime capital of Netherlands.
Nieuwegein.
He's in the crime-ridden Netherlands.
Yes, crime-ridden.
Michael Gates, 5280. Ed Griebel in Webster, New York, 5129.
Hold on. Combined birthday and anniversary for my smoking hot wife, JJ. Married 29 years and we never had a fight.
Dame Generous, as in dangerous. Dame Generous.
No, Dangerous. Dangerous.
I'm sorry. Dangerous, 5033. And this is going to be a gift towards the damehood of Femke.
Yeah, Femke.
The smoking hot wife is Sir Stinkfinger.
If you're new to the show, don't worry. If you get dizzy, just look at the ground. Just it'll all go away. Now. It'll all go away.
Give up now. Sir Dr. Sharkey's in with $50.05 from Jackson, Tennessee. Now, the following people are $50 donors, name and location, if applicable. And the first one is very applicable because it comes from Bart Beekwilder from Vegel. Noord-Brabant, which is also in the crime-ridden country of Netherlands.
Bart Beekwilder from Veghel, Noord-Brabant.
Yes. Chisholm Cook in Bolivar, Texas. You know what this will do? This will encourage the way the Hollanders are. They think all this sort of thing, especially with me reading these names, butchering things left and right. They'll be donating like crazy next show so we can keep harping on... Or I can keep harping on crime-ridden Netherlands.
Yes.
At your behest, by the way.
This is
your fault.
This is a good plan, John. Exit strategy. I feel it.
It's Chisholm Cook in Bolivar, Texas. Raymond Berry, $50. Nathan Gray in Sebring, Florida, home of the race. Ryan Nemela, Mary Huey, Joel, Sir Joel, I believe, DeRuin in Bakersfield. I thought he was someplace else. I guess he moved. Jonathan Meyer in Xenia, Ohio. Edward Mazurek in Memphis, Tennessee. Greg Furek in Chicago. And Michelle Gallion, $50. And she says, hey, guys, for my smoking hot husband, Matt, on his birthday, July 7th, he needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Christopher Rivera in Austin, Texas. Matthias Milchinski in Stevenson Ranch, California. Milchinski, maybe. Troy Watson, G-Man, the security guy in Litchfield Hills, Connecticut. And last but not least, and last on the list, and last of the producers today is Villarreal.
We always love to hear Villarreal.
So I want to thank all these folks for producing show 1362.
And we thank everyone who came in under $50. That is for anonymity, typically the $49.99s, but we do have sustaining donations. If you'd like to make an ongoing contribution, we have a number of the cool numbers, 33, 33s, 11, 11, 12, 12s, all kinds of things. You can make one up yourself, actually. Go to
Dvorak.org/NA.
And a big jobs comer for
jobs.
All.
Jobs, jobs, and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Yeah. Karma.
Yeah, we have quite a list today of birthdays and of knights and dames, even a title change. We congratulate Sir Andy of the Hickory, protector of the Hickory Bay, I think, protector of small horses, July 7th. Lindsay Carson says happy birthday to her sister Lauren, turned 33 on the 6th. Michelle Gallion, her smoking hot husband Matt, celebrate his birthday on the 7th. Baronet Sir Rogue of the Taverns, 57 yesterday. Jennifer Mowry turns 32 today. Jeff Alicia celebrates tomorrow, July 9th. Ba von Kerkrure. Carecourle, July 10th. Tommy Barnes will be 57 on the 10th. DC Girl says, happy birthday to high-end artist Roger Roundy, his birthday the 10th. Surprise congratulates his gorgeous wife, and Ed Griebel also says happy birthday to his smoking hot wife, JJ. We say happy birthday to everybody here from the best podcast in the universe. It's your birthday, yeah.
Come gather round, douchebag. Produce as we all thank your brothers and sisters who gave us some of them knights, some of them dames, for the titles are a-changing.
There it is. I did not forget. I remembered by request. Title change, Sir Michael Minton supported the show with yet another donation totaling $1,000, and he becomes Earl Mittens of a World Distant. Oh, actually, Earl, he's been around, this guy. Oh, very nice. Then we have a very nice selection. One, two, we have three dames and two knights on deck. Hello?
Here you go.
Yep, there it is. All right, here we are on the podium. Virginia Lee Watts, Femke, Mariella Nolfo, Emma Pilgrim, and Jeff Alicia. You all have supported the No Agenda Show in the amount of $1,000 or more. Therefore, you are very entitled to sit here at the round table of the No Agenda Knights and Dames with all of its benefits. And I am very proud to pronounce to Kate B as Dame Fox of the Gateway, Dame Bem Bem, Dame Mariella of the Anterior Communicating Artery, Dame Orchid Thief, and Sir Jeff of PA Route 33. For you, we've got hookers and blow, rent boys and Chardonnay, foie gras with raisin bread and lamb chops, with rosemary, shoe fly pie with birch beer, bacon wrap, filet mignon, Takis and Diet Coke, and mutton and mead. It's always here. And that's still the favorite. All of you, all of you are invited to go to noagendanation.com/rings. This is the reward that you get for this kind of producership. This is not just for the elites in England. No, This is for real knights and dames of the No Agenda Roundtable. There's a signet ring you can use to sign a, you know, little seal there on your correspondence. You get sealing wax with that and the official certificate. And thank you all very much for supporting the No Agenda show. You're not just supporters, you are producers, and you can be very, very proud of that. And now you're royalty, so we love it.
No Agenda!
You know, we may have to start putting together a show that is just the No Agenda Meetup podcast. I mean, have you seen the list? It's really, this thing has taken off to such a degree. We could actually go to Live Nation and we could do a world tour, John, you and me. We'd be selling some merch. We're doing all these meetups, hanging out with everybody.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Before we do any of that, let us listen to some of the meetups from around the world. We have two reports today. The first from Dubrovnik.
In the morning, Sir Kevin of the Irrigated Rice Fields here, checking in from the Dubrovnik meetup.
Oh, hello. In the morning, it's Vedran from Dubrovnik.
Well, you gotta say something.
Hello from Dubrovnik. It's Mary.
Hello in the morning. This is Andre from Dubrovnik. Chicken fucking nuggets.
Okay. Oh, hello.
Hello in the morning. This is Laura from Germany.
All right.
Wow, I'd go to that meetup. I love Dubrovnik. It's a fantastic little town.
Yeah, Croatia. I have not been. Now, the second report is professionally produced. Please take into account that there were 43 people at this meetup. This was at a hotel who went all in. This was scheduled when lockdown was still in place, and they had figured out they could make it an official business meeting, and that would kind of let them through. Now, I understand from the owner, the proprietor, who I know of said hotel, that there were, you know, the cops did call her up and say, hey, you know, keep everybody in check. But I don't think that happened. I think they had a really good time, and they did a very nice meetup report. This is the Reis Friesland No Agenda Lowlands Meetup Report.
In the morning, Silkayu.
In the morning, Sunday Whisper of the Long.
New mem.
In the morning, Bam Bam, future dame of, I don't know.
Here.
Party time!
Yeah, Mom.
So, good night.
Oi, ich bin Jonah, Katz.
Hey, this is Daniela, the douchebag.
In the morning, Alina from Leitzendam.
And this is Alina's husband, also from Leitzendam, and both of us are Romanian producers.
In the morning, John and Adam, this is Alvin from Alkmaar. John, can you say Reis?
Hey, Adam, you all are doing the Dutch accent. Can you also do the phrasing accent sometimes?
In the morning.
I got a mouthful of food. It's even better.
In the morning. Huskadaver. Sir, Huskadaver. Stay safe. And
healthy. One more second, dog.
In the morning, John and Adam. This is Bastion.
Adam and John, thank you for your courage. Bitcoin maximalism. In the morning.
I'm the lady of the Lithuanian butt club.
ITM douchebags. Here's Sander Lieberg.
ITM, here's Niels.
In the morning.
It's like a party.
Help me, all them out.
This is Tante Neil and John. It's the same orange.
I'm a dude named Ben, named Ruben, and I've spotted the spook.
Don't forget your B12.
Bestreef, man.
Nee.
Bestreef, man.
Nee.
Bestreef, nee.
Boeterbree en green cheese.
Maar dat net zijn ze ken, is gin op rochte fries.
You tante nailed it.
Oh, I'm not ready for this. Oh, I'm not ready for this. This is Dame of the Doomsday Deniers. Donate.
Show your fucking... In the morning, it's Dangerous, coming to you live from Friesland. Testing to you.
In the morning, this is Ruthie here with some very fine people in Friesland having a ball. Thanks, guys.
Hello, douchebags. This is Ella. Hallo, Hanko from Gitmo Nation in the Netherlands.
In the morning, Sutherland, Utrecht.
Yeah, in the morning, Adam and John, this is Taco from Utrecht.
Sir Taki
from Utrecht.
Biggest night during the meetup. Until now.
In the morning.
Hi, John and Adam. This is Lucas, 19-year-old douchebag. John, buy a Bitcoin.
Stu! Man up! Stu, man!
Hey, Sean and Adam.
It's like a fire.
Like and you're so good.
Hey, this is the Displaced Texan loving spinning 4th of July with my Dutch friends over here at No Gen Meetup in the morning, y'all.
Everybody! In the morning!
Oh, I'm not ready for this.
I mean, I need a cigarette after that.
Did I hear Tante Neil was there?
Yeah. And the lady of the Lithuanian butt plug.
Yeah.
Is that, did we dame her? I can't remember.
I can't remember her.
I can't remember. I think I would have remembered.
Yeah, you'd think.
Wow, man. And that goodness in the crime-ridden state known as the country of the Netherlands.
One safe spot.
The one, you're only safe with these people, clearly. Here's what's on the list for your meetups. You can find it all at noagendameetups.com for this coming Saturday, July 10th, the Montreal Quebec Slave Levy, Spirits and Freedom. And that'll be at Cap Saint-Jacques Nature Park. Look at noagendameetup.com for details. Also on Saturday, the Bothell Washington in the Morning meetup at 3 o'clock at Alexis Cafe. Rocky Mountain Oyster Shuckers. That'll be Glenwood Springs, Colorado, 5 o'clock at Casey's Wing House and Sports Bar. Pittsburgh, PA, the NA Not Luck meetup, 5:30 p.m. Casual meetup at the home of an organizer. Again, noagendameetups.com for details. Post-Independence Day review. This is a mandatory meeting in Anchorage, Alaska at Bear Paw Bar and Grill. And this coming Sunday, Fort Myers, Florida, the SWFL inaugural brunch, 1 p.m. at Egg Cetera Cafe. The Low Country Summer Sweat Meet, Charleston, South Carolina at the Royal American. Dame Jennifer is hosting that. Go say hi to Dame Jennifer. We love Dame Jennifer. The Local 919 Durham, North Carolina, 4 p.m., that'll now be at the Carolina Ale House. And then finally for Sunday, the Costanza Meetup. That's in Romania, 5 o'clock Eastern European Summertime. And you want to contact Sir Kevin of the Irrigated Rice Fields for that. These are just a sampling of the meetups that you can find at noagendameetups.com. They're happening all over the world. It's a great place to hang out. The proof is in the reports. And if you can't find near you, why don't you just start one? It's easy. Noagendameetups.com, just like a party.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me. Triggered all hell the same. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
Hey, alert the affiliates. What the hell happened? We're way over today.
Yeah.
And I got to go to Austin. It's the Max Kaiser F. Elon Bitcoin party.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. Yes.
What?
It was just a long silence.
Well, what time do you have to leave?
After we're done.
Oh. I mean, what time do you have to be there?
Well, it starts at 5. I'm not going to make that, but I'll be there around 6:30 probably.
Oh, it's a party.
It's okay. Yeah, well, yeah, it's kind of a party. I like Max and Stacey. They're friends, so I want to go say hi and we'll party. And they're on their world tour. End of show ISOs.
I have nothing.
What? Well, I guess I'm in the catbird seat.
You are. I have. Indeed.
I have this one.
Yeehaw.
Cute.
Well, it's kind of more fun in context. Let me see if I have the context. This was, I keep telling everybody that you can just needle drop MSNBC any time of the day and you can record and make a clip. It's real. It's not even fair. That's why I don't do it. But this one was sent to me. This is Joy Reid.
Let's talk about your book itself. What is the...
I'm sorry. I need the intro one.
Right.
This one. Here we go. Listen to this.
Take a look at what's happening in Texas. State Republicans led by Republican luminaries like Governor Greg Abbott, who can't even manage the state's electrical grid, forced the abrupt cancellation of a book event at a state history museum because they didn't like what the book says. Forget the Alamo examines the role slavery played leading up to the Battle of the Alamo. Now, Abbott didn't have the courage to publicly condemn free speech, but his deputy, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, carried the bag. In a tweet, Patrick said, "I told staff to cancel this event as soon as I found out about it and called it a fact-free rewriting of Texas history." Yeehaw.
See, that's how they report the news over there. Like, bunch of dumb bumpkins there in Texas. Yeehaw!
Yeehaw.
What's wrong with you, woman? I think this is the one you'll like.
It's a super light, frothy, fun show.
I thought it was It's really
a frothy show.
It's a frothy.
Those are our two choices.
That's all I got. No, that's all I got.
No, go with the froth. I hate the Joy Reid so much.
No, I hate her too. But the frothy is cool, right? The frothy is cute.
I have a bunch of clips I can do. We got to wrap, so I got.
You got at least one. Take us out with something good, something fun.
I got something good. This is good news.
Stop.
I don't know what your income is. You got all these podcasts. You know, you probably make a lot of money, but.
Oh, yeah, I'm rolling in dough.
I'm sure you're not making as much as these people that are on this MSNBC. But I guess that thanks to Biden, and I really appreciate this, that we're probably not going to pay any taxes.
The reason I'm bothering to do this is I keep hearing on the press, Biden's going to raise your taxes. Anybody making less than $400,000 a year will not pay a single penny in taxes. And we will not increase the deficit either.
So can we actually take that to the IRS and say, hey, the president said so? Will that work? Do you think that'll work?
I'm just telling you. According to Biden, he says if you make less than $400,000 a year.
Yeah, we're there.
We're there. You don't have to pay a penny in taxes.
Right. So can we not pay a penny and then hold the president to it?
I would guess so. Yeah, sure. For sure. Come on.
You know, the IRS has only processed 3% of its backlog. It's like 35 million tax returns have not even been processed because they had to shut down during COVID.
Yeah, great.
It's a mess over there. And they're talking about giving them $85 billion to track people down who are cheating.
Well, they're going to know.
Well, they'll just come by and check with your little COVID
encouragement. The guy behind the COVID guy carrying a gun.
The IRS does have guns.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. That's it. That was a fun show. End of show mixes. We've got, yes, we have our very own Neil Jones, the clip custodian, comes in with a end of show mix. We got sound guy Steve and Rolando Gonzalez returns. His 36th mix for end of show so far. Really appreciate that. Coming to you from the heart of hill country in Texas. We still are in FEMA region number 6, home of Patriot Hill Country FM. In the morning, everybody, Madam Curry.
And I'm in Northern Silicon Valley, and I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday right here with another episode of The Deconstruction you almost cannot wait for. Please join us for that. Until then, adios, mofos! And such.
Hives, really bad hives, all over my body. Woke up with headaches every day. The simplest things would just make me very, very tired. My symptoms would get so bad that I would throw up.
It's a sound like I've never heard before.
Wake up with nosebleeds.
She says even her dogs were throwing up blood. Her symptoms were the same that American officials in Havana had suffered since 2016. The U.S. embassy there is all but closed as a result.
It was a weapon. An energy weapon.
Designed to bathe the target's living quarters in microwaves.
This was a directed standoff attack against my apartment. Picture holding a marble. Then picture if you had like a 6 foot in diameter funnel, metal funnel, the sound that marble would make as it goes around and it progressively gets faster as it goes down towards the hole at the end.
It was a weapon, an energy weapon, that may have the ability to weaken, intimidate, or kill an enemy over time without leaving evidence.
Greetings, groovy Gitmo guys and gals. Tonight we have a special guest, hot off his first European tour. Please give a warm Gitmo welcome to the freestyle ramblings of Bongo Joe.
Good evening, everyone.
Yo, man, what's up?
80 years ago, we affirmed. It was a statement of first principles, a promise. That's who we are. We seek to help as best we can. That's who we are. Driving ambitious global action to address the climate crisis.
Bonehead.
Cybersecurity. Emerging technologies.
Crazy.
Global health. Climate change. It's incredible. Bravely serving side by side anywhere in the world. Let me be clear. We know the tragedy. We also know the path to recovery. But here's the deal. By harassing the full potential, in times of trouble, we value the inherent dignity of all people. That's it. With evidence clear day by day, businesses reopening. That won't happen. Let me say that again. That won't happen. I want to make clear. Round the clock. Drive forward the momentum toward the critical growth. I'm making an historic announcement. We're not perfect. Our values call us to do everything that we can. And in this moment, getting jabs. As long as the virus rages elsewhere. Do it now. Need time. Step up. Step up. Step up.
How can they lie like that?
The only people dying are the unvaccinated. Literally, the only people dying are the unvaccinated. Literally, the only people dying are the unvaccinated. Literally, the only people dying are the unvaccinated.
How can they lie like that?
Needlessly dying.
How can they lie like that?
The best podcast in the universe.
Adios, mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
It's a super light, frothy, fun show.